participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C. 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
How you guys doing?
Never better. That stuff never hurts me.
Mike, shut up. How you doing?
What?
Oh, hi there, everybody. Hi there.
Hi.
It's me, your designated driver. Woke up.
Thank
feel
you.
Feel great this morning. Felt great last night going to bed.
Uh-huh.
I'm looking at two guys that participated in the experiment yesterday.
Yes.
One of them appears to be bright-eyed, bushy-tailed.
Hi.
He's the one that I made sure got home last night.
Thank you for that.
He didn't go out to follow up.
Ah.
I'd like to thank Clementine and her husband, Augie, for giving me a ride back home.
Nice.
Not really home. Maybe that would have been better.
Hank's Look Around Cafe.
But they were very nice to drive me, and Jonathan was very nice to drive my car all the way out there.
Jonathan, of course, is the married sales guy who's married to the woman who may or may not be involved in a lesbian relationship. Jonathan has a crush on Beth Ann.
And vice versa.
And I can just say that for the three of them, a more sexed up group, you're simply not going to find.
Really?
Yes. Now, I believe that they are just constantly thinking about it, perhaps acting on it. And that was just my, just from one little drive. And just seeing the way they behave.
Now, hold on. Even Augie?
Who are the people that you think are sexed up?
I know that Clem and Augie seem to be sexed up.
Well, they're married, so it's okay if they're sexed up. Are they sexed up for each other or for others?
You'd probably have to ask Clem that.
Or you could ask Will.
Let's do that.
And Jonathan, once again, somehow works his way into this. They could not have been nicer to do this. I was appreciative. We kind of went our separate ways when we got to the restaurant. They went their way, I went my way. But I don't know. I think this is just what I think, because I'm cloudy. I'm as cloudy as it gets as far as last night is concerned. But I think that if you were to, if you were to delve into that, you might find some interesting answers.
And we will on today's show.
Now, who knows what the relation is between Augie and Jonathan and Clementine, but they could not have been nicer to me.
You know, it was a good absinthe show when...
Should we point out that everybody that participated in that, nobody, God forbid, got behind the wheel of an
Yeah, nobody went out and ran into a school bus or anything.
Everybody was very responsible.
Everybody had a drive.
We're good about
that. We had a ride for everybody. Buzz told me that after the guy for Bare Naked Ladies was on, he doesn't remember anything from the show. Mike came in and said to me, did I do anything yesterday?
Yeah. Did I do anything bad? I know that I called you a bad word that we used to be able to say on the radio when the Bare Naked Ladies guy was singing, because you pressed a button where there was just this little dropout, but it wasn't really noticeable to the listeners. And so I called you something where you had to hit the delay. And that's why, I really
this
ruined
is the problem. You're working with drunk guys. and it's great.
We're out of control.
The guy from Bare Naked Ladies is singing. We don't have good acoustics in this studio. This is a crap studio.
It truly is.
So we've got some... Excuse me. We got some fake reverb happening.
Which was nice.
We've got his guitar mic turned on, but we can't have all the other mics on in the studio. So, the guy's playing and everybody just kind of bouncing their heads. And Mike looks up at me and apparently he wants to say something during the song. He wants to say like, yeah, or something like that. And his mic's not on.
No. That's not why I did what I did.
Why did you do that then?
Because you were it was sounding great. You had it actually mic'd really well, and then you hit a button and we exchanged a look there because it kind of you gave me one of these like little flinch looks that you would hit it, and I, being festive, I said, hey, you blank. Okay. Remember that?
I don't remember that. That's how it happened.
It wasn't you had my microphone on though, or to a certain enough of a level where it didn't bother me the whole time he was on.
The way that I, the sober one, remembered it.
Right.
Was that you wanted to say something. See, I don't know, there may have been a dropout at that moment as well.
No.
All I know is that during the middle of this guy's brilliant performance, we had to delete about 15 seconds of his beautiful song.
So I apologize for that. Regardless of what the motivation was, I was the one that said it, and you had to hit
the button. Drunk.
Yes.
I remember Stephen Page, and I thought that was great, and I remember the drinking. That was fun. The one thing I'm still not clear on is, why didn't
didn't we do a show yesterday?
We're going to cover all of this in a second.
Okay. This is Veterans Day, right?
Oh, Mike, are you kidding?
It's Veterans Day.
Damn right it is.
It confirms it. Well, why didn't we get a day off?
Because we're not veterans.
Oh, all right. We're radio veterans.
Yes, you are.
That's not playing, Rob.
Oh, no.
Hear that? That is the sound of a tape that's not queued up.
It hasn't re-queued.
It'll queue soon.
Okay, well, let me know. I'm going to turn it off right now. You let me know, because I've got some guaranteed gold right here. Especially with these fellas. That's right, with these fellas, the way they're feeling today. At least
runners?
The way that one of them's feeling. Mike, you look like you got a boot. You okay?
No, I just had a big plate of Robert the Mailman's lasagna.
Oh, it's good.
I feel good.
Thanks for meeting.
That was a bright thing to do. I don't feel like I want to crawl into a bed right now.
Mike is saying to me before the show today, he says, you don't understand. He said, I'm in a bar 3 nights a week.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I drink. He said, that stuff yesterday.
Nothing has ever entered my system that affected me more.
You went to the bar last night and you said you had 27 Diet Cokes.
I drank Diet Coke for... I got to the bar, I probably had 2 beers. And then after that, I drank Diet Coke for 3.5 hours. Steady. One right after the other
Just trying to sober yourself up.
Just trying to feel more in touch with the world. And
even this morning...
I really sat at a table and just stared at people just last night. Just kind of looking around, just going...
I went home and had a bottle of water because I felt really dehydrated from the alcohol and fell asleep around 8:15.
That's the difference.
Yeah.
That's the difference. I stayed out a lot later.
Yeah.
Trying to, instead of just letting sleep do it. Well, how did you feel when you woke up?
Great. Never better.
You want to punch him, don't you? You really do.
Let's go. No, if you went to bed at 8:15, I can understand why you probably feel great.
Well, I got up again. I had a little nap. Or you could call it passed out, but after that I felt great.
Okay, hold on. So when you got home, you were awake for a while, then you passed out. What time did you wake up from your passing out?
Well, about 8:45, and then I was up for a half an hour or so.
Now we're getting a little more real time here. So you went home
up again around 2.
You passed out for about a half hour.
Yeah.
Then woke up again
for about a half an hour.
And then passed out again.
No, just decidedly went to bed at that point. Too much day.
But either way, look at him. Bright eye, bushy tail.
Let's go.
And how's Watley doing?
Yeah, has anyone heard
of him? God knows.
Because he kept going into his show.
I
heard a lot about that.
I assume that Fez sobered up by the end of Ron and Fez. You don't know?
I don't know. It's pretty strong stuff.
Was Stephen Page?
Yes.
Did he make his benefit? Was he?
Yeah.
Because he was... he came in and played his song and took it, but he was drinking that stuff, and it has that little 15-minute delay.
He's okay. I think he only had one.
He limited
just
himself.
One.
He only had one. Only one.
Well, we had three, right, Buzz?
Yes,
and
we did.
Three.
Last night I heard Ron and Fez, I'm leaving, and their show's coming on, and Ron said something that was so true. He said the first motor skill to go, and he was talking about timing, and that was the one thing with you guys that was maddening, not being the drunk guy, was everybody wanted to talk at once, and then Mike started getting mad because you normally get mad anyway when you're not drunk.
Right.
When you're talking and someone else is talking, I know that that's your hot button.
Right, right.
And a couple of times yesterday, you would talk, and then Fez would talk, and then Buzz would talk.
Right. I remember especially during the Nancy O'Dell segment. That we seriously, three guys were talking to her at the same time.
It was a great segment, though.
I think she loved it.
It was a great segment. I think, I don't know what the people at Accent Hollow would think. I think it's the best one she's done on the show.
But getting mad, it did not, because, and that this is where I will give this stuff credit, it did not manifest itself like it normally did. I didn't hit either Buzz or Fez.
No. And I think...
Because I really fell in love with the world, until...
That's the magic of Buzz's green elixir.
And especially at the beginning. I mean, you just get literally giddy.
Happy. It's the happiest drink on earth.
Buzz.
Well, we'll get all the stories from last night, and we will also check in with Tokyo Rose.
I'll tell you about my dinner, because you know who I had dinner with?
Who?
I had dinner with Jacob.
Ah, I like him. The guy who brought
I thought he had to catch a plane to Boston.
No, he was supposed to be out of town.
He came out to the restaurant. We had dinner together. And then he just like he said, about an hour, He left, went to the airport.
Yep. You had dinner and then you had breakfast?
No.
And you woke up and there was blood in your sheets? we can say that.
No, that yes. It was cranberry juice.
We can say that.
He was wonderful.
Fellows.
Nice man.
Hello.
Hello there, Mr. Shannon.
Hello. This is Scott Shannon.
And I'm Milburn Drysdale, president of the Commerce Bank of Beverly Hills and personal banker to Granny. Granny.
Jokes and groaners on this sure happy it's Thursday.
Are we going to have a little quiz to see who's the author of the groaners today?
Not today. They're all courtesy of the complete sheet.
I feel great.
a joke. Hello.
Hello.
This is Scott Shannon.
And I'm Milburn Drysdale.
White House counsel Alberto Gonzalez will succeed John Ashcroft as Attorney General. John Ashcroft plans to devote more time to his two greatest passions, covering up nude statues and avoiding black people.
Wow.
Wow.
Timely, it's topical.
Yes, yeah,
it is.
Real
time. Not funny.
And I'm selling it, dude.
You are.
I'm selling it, man.
Here you are.
It's Veterans Day.
A hyphen, Webster's Dictionary defines, is a symbol used to divide a compound word or a single word. So it seems to me that when a man calls himself an Afro-American, a Mexican-American, Italian-American, an Irish-American, Jewish-American, what he's saying is, I'm a divided American.
It's Veterans Day.
Thank you. Thank you, J.W.
J.W.
Thank you. Go right to the groaners.
Very good.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. What is Condoleezza Rice's favorite party game? Truth or glare?
That was
hello.
Great.
Hello, hangover. Hello, day after. What does Condoleezza Rice take for her allergies?
What?
Glaritin.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Hey, now.
It's on in my
yeah,
show.
Wow.
Started.
Damn right that's it. Glare.
Glare.
Right.
Everybody.
We don't pay for that, incidentally.
Good for us.
I think the reason we're still getting those is that every once in a while we mention the complete sheet.
Right.
Some service out there. Say hello to everybody.
Hello!
Hello! Do you wish to speak, sober man?
No.
Oh, look, you're just waiting.
Yeah, just waiting.
Just waiting for his turn. Oh, hi, Jerry.
Hello.
Hi, John Kerry.
Oh, hi there.
Hi, Julia.
Hello.
Hey, Tony.
Okay.
Hi, Donovan.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
We are. You have to live without the door today. Okay. Trust me, it's there.
Based on a true story, he was a neo-Nazi with one true enemy. Himself, a man of faith, a man of hate, and a soul torn apart. Viewer discretion advised.
How have you been?
And good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Excedrin and all the ships at sea. Back again for another holiday season. The stars of a tuna Christmas, Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Yeah.
It's Veterans Day.
Yeah.
Hello.
Hi there, everybody.
Hello.
Hi, Julia. Hi.
Hello.
Hi, Jerry. Don and Mike Show, new episode on this Thursday.
Thursday!
11:04.
Hi, Don and Mike. Buzz Burbank here.
No, he's not retarded.
There you go. Hi there, Don and Mike Show, new episode on this November 11th, 20-04. Call us from anywhere in America, 877-365-3636 from Canada, from Mexico. Your phone number, 800-636-1067 in WJFK. Your hotline to the hits is 202-432-1067. Well, we had the great Absinthe show yesterday.
Right.
Yep.
Good times. Good times had by all.
Buzz was way out of his mind, but
that's
like
right
he always is, cool, but out of his mind. Mike was happy, out of his mind.
Mm-hmm.
Fez Watley from Ron and Fez was...
No noticeable difference.
Besides...
No noticeable difference.
Besides being really funny,
right.
The only moment with Fez that slightly creeped me out, like the stuff when he talked about Bart, that was cool because I started that.
That's right.
That's a good joke. That's a good riff. He was nice to... And I'm going to, you know, use the Dr. Evil quotes. He was nice to play along with that. Like, he really doesn't want my son.
Right.
But, Mike, I don't know if you remember the moment when he pulled up his shirt, Fez pulled up his shirt.
And showed you the Riddler tattoo.
Yeah. Yeah. Right on top of his Tampa Bay tattoo to show me how much we have in common.
He's a nut.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, he really is. And, you know, that's the nice thing. And I think we can tell everybody that listens to this show and their show that that he... He is the real deal. Yeah. He ain't right.
He's funny. Yeah.
He's birdcagey. Yeah. Anyway, so thanks much to Fez Watley, who helped out yesterday as well. And make sure you listen to Ron and Fez. They had a real good show last night. Ron mentioned to Fez right in the very beginning. You know, I felt bad for Ron.
I felt bad for Ron. Yeah.
Their show was funny yesterday, like our show was funny yesterday. But I felt bad for Ron because Ron walked right into what I had just left him, which was, at one point I heard him say, Fez, no one else is drunk. No one else is laughing at what you're laughing at. You're looking at a spot. Mike is not there. You want to reach out and punch somebody. See, at least I had all of you guys drunk together.
Yeah, right. And it was kind of like conducting a wobbly orchestra.
Right.
A class full of slow kids.
Poor Ron just had Aunt Fez.
Uh-huh.
Well, I think you get a real big kick out of it, too, of watching people that aren't quite right.
Well, really.
You had three to watch, actually four or five.
Right.
What is that thing that John Cleese says that I like so bad? Now, show you the deep side.
Okay, good.
Yes, the deep side. He said this about Fawlty Towers. He said, if a whole bunch of people in a room are acting crazy, it's not funny. But if you have someone watching people act crazy, someone that is normal to give you like a barometer,
reacting,
then that's funny.
Okay, all right. There you go.
So you're John Cleese.
And that's what you did yesterday.
Right.
You did seem to enjoy yourself.
It's guys, inside the comedy mind.
You guys yesterday were freaking hilarious.
Well,
all of you were.
We felt great.
Yeah.
However, I will say that above Mike, above Buzz, above everybody else, Clementine Tran, the Chinese sales girl.
Oh, she's a blast.
She came in here yesterday and she downed two of the... Now, she is a little...
She's tiny.
She's not a tall person.
Little China doll. I mean, you know, mail order bride, she would fit into a small box.
She's tiny always.
She's not a... I just said small box. She's a small woman.
Yeah. And, she's a super happy lucky person.
And my point here is that the boys had been knocking back these drinks all day long. Little petite Clementine Tran came in, power drank one, power drank the second, and was ready to power drink her third in something like 15 minutes.
She was incredible.
Some kind of death wish.
And she was
a fascinating woman.
She was singing about Madonna yesterday, and she was outing someone here at the station who I think is maybe not gay, but she was insinuating that...
No, I believe her.
...that he could have been gay. And... I understand that this continued late into the night. She was on virtually every radio show on this radio station last night.
Did she come back to the radio station and go on Ron and Fez?
I heard she was on Ron and Fez, and then I heard she was on El Jefe.
Wow.
So, like, she was all over the place. Mike, before we call Clementine...
Yeah.
Oh, hold on. How can someone have news about Clementine from California? John?
Hi.
Yeah. Hey, John.
Hey, I just called to ask, can we have a lot more Clementine on the radio?
Where are you calling from?
Oh, he wants... It said more Clementine, thought he had some news. He just wants more Clementine.
Wants more, we all.
And you're calling from what part of the country?
I live near San Francisco.
Okay, the north of San Francisco?
Yes, in Marin County.
What station are you listening on?
Well, I'm listening on the one you don't like so much.
KHTK?
That's right.
That's just Mike speaking now.
Yeah,
I'd like to point out
he's not feeling well.
That's just Mike after good.
I am not feeling ill at all.
Okay.
In fact, I'm feeling a lot better after I hate to admit it, after I ate that lasagna.
I'll do it.
Robert the Mailman's lasagna. You know what that is? That's like when you go out after you've absolutely just done it the night before,
you're right,
and you get like some McDonald's and you just it heals you.
A big hamburger.
I'm having, I think, a carb rush right now. I think in about 10 minutes I might just crash again.
Here is Chris in Buffalo. Chris.
I just wanted to say the Wednesday version of karaoke was by far the funniest show I have ever heard.
Oh, that's Clementine Tran, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The funniest part was when Buzz was trying to do the news and Mike just kept on saying, "What do you got next, Buzz?" That was the best. You guys are the friggin' best.
You don't remember that, do you?
I look at it now, like
you don't remember.
I have no memory of that.
Let's see if you remember this.
Okay.
When you left the station last night, now I know how Buzz got home,
right?
Because he got home via me.
Yeah.
Now, Mike, you went out to the Look Around Cafe.
Gave my keys to...
Look Around Cafe.
Gave my keys to Jonathan and Clem Tran and her husband Augie drove me. I think Augie drove.
Yes, he hadn't been drinking.
Because Clem and I were, you know... both, you know,
Bob. Yeah.
And Clem and I were in the back seat.
So when you got... Oh, hey, anything happened?
No. I was in the front seat.
Not that he remembers.
When you got to the joint... did you enjoy Clementine's wonderful powers of persuasion, or did you...
No, they went into the... I told them I'd buy them dinner, and they went into the dining room, and
oh, incidentally, I heard that, and I want to say something. That is proof, beyond the shadow of a doubt, that Mike was happy drunk last night.
Well, that was really just thanking them for the ride.
That was
the reason I was doing it. I would have done that I would have done that sober. I mean, getting a ride.
No, but
I wouldn't have gotten a ride unless I was, you know, in a little bit looped.
I heard there was a 22-ounce porterhouse steak she had.
Oh my God.
I know. What is that on your menu? Is that like $6.99?
They had a good time. So they were, yeah, that's, but I didn't talk to them. Once they got to the joint, I didn't talk to them at all. I didn't see them until I think it was Jonathan who was saying goodnight. Sneaky. Something's going on, Jonathan.
Mm-hmm.
But who I like, and I certainly trust enough to drive my car. I mean, Jonathan was... but there's something going on.
Okay, so what can you tell us about Clementine? Because we're going to call her now to see how she's feeling. You're the last person on the show to have contact with her.
With Clementine?
Yeah.
Clementine is a blast. Clementine is a throwback to the old days when you and I were working in the mid-1980s, and we had those kind of station functions.
Come on.
You get somebody like Clementine Tran, I have tremendous expectations for social gatherings at this rate. All you need is one person like that, and... the rest will follow.
Bravo.
Yep. That's what you need.
That's
boy,
great
it's been
news.
A long time
yep.
since we've had a real personality
Hello?
In that sales department.
Hey, B.A.
Yeah.
Now, before I call Clementine,
yeah.
See if you can get... Now, I mentioned to B.A. when I came in tonight, how is everybody come, you know, stringing and struggling in?
Well,
and,
B.A. sent me an email that said you bumped into Clementine. What, was that 7:45 this morning?
Yeah.
7:30 this morning.
7:30. She was here
wow.
this morning at 7:30. And how did she appear?
She was in different clothes, which shocked me. I mean, she looked fine.
Fresh, perky?
How about that?
I wouldn't say fresh, but she was perky.
Okay.
That's fantastic.
Thanks, B.A.
You're welcome.
All right, bye-bye. So just put that in your equation as well,
mm-hmm.
that Clementine was here back at the station for the sales stuff at 7:30 this morning.
Wow. That's pretty impressive.
She's out.
Hey, how many times a year are we doing those shows? Twice?
I don't know, Mike. Depends how often Buzz gets his guy here with the stuff.
Oh, right. I'll take care of that if you need it.
Well, you want to
let me know.
You want to do it next week again?
No. I want to do it 4 times a year.
Like you said yesterday, this was the last one of the year, so what do you think, January 15th, maybe?
Maybe around the Super Bowl.
Okay.
Super Bowl's like a holiday. Hello,
done deal.
Hello, Clem.
Hey.
Are we all
Clement?
From other places?
Hold on, Clem.
Different creeds, different races.
You're playing John Wayne.
Form a nation to become as one.
What the hell is that?
Yep. It's Veterans Day.
Yeah.
The harm a line has done.
All right.
A simple little line, and yet as divisive as a line can get.
It's Veterans Day.
Anyway, I'm there's sorry. The Duke.
I've got all the tapes. Clem?
Hey, guys.
Okay, hold on. Here we go. Oh, my darling. Oh, my darling. Clementine. Well, you came to the show yesterday, sound like Madonna. Oh, my darling, Clementine. Oh, my darling. Oh, my darling. Oh, my darling, Clementine.
You really know how to party. Oh, my darling, Clementine.
Oh, my darling. Oh, my darling.
Oh, my darling, Clementine.
I don't remember the name of the sales guy that you said was gay, but it was great. Oh, my darling, Clementine.
I didn't mean that he was gay. I just meant that he thought... Fez was cute.
Ah,
that's all.
Clem, you're an original. You're
Clem,
the real deal, Clementine.
Clem, tell us what happened last night, Clem, after you left the show.
Well, Basically, what happened, we went to O'Mara's, and the food was great. That steak was awesome.
Thanks. Look around, cafe.
Did you have a porterhouse?
I did.
22 it ounces.
Even, it was even better than the one at Morton's. So
wow, listen to that.
It was really good.
You couldn't tell it was horse?
No, it was good.
Hello. Right. My name is Mr. Ed.
And we danced, actually, because I wanted to give Mike his space and everything, and we ended up dancing later, and it was fun.
And you kept partying?
Yes, and then I had to go back to work to do some more work.
Wow.
Back over some stuff. And
did you dance with Jonathan last night?
No, with Augie. Jonathan danced.
Just with Augie.
What was Jonathan up to?
Augie's, incidentally, Augie is Clem's husband. Yes.
Yes.
And what was Jonathan doing while you two were dancing?
I don't know.
But he was sitting with you guys, right?
Watch me.
Right.
Jonathan is the weird, strange sales guy who is, like, in love with Beth Ann. And
but he's a good guy.
Allegedly has... Well, he's a good guy now since you trusted him with your car last night and it didn't show up stolen today.
We liked him when he came on the show, too. I mean, that was part of it, too, right? I mean...
Oh, and let's not forget, he's got a Mensa pencil.
Well, now, see, that's... I'm not sure about that. See,
he's sneaky, though.
We don't know everything.
So, Clem, how did you end up on Ron and Fez last night? And then even with Hefe?
Actually, I don't remember being on El Jefe, but Dubs just pulled me in, that's all. Like, Ron and Fez. Because I was making copies and everything.
And then you were here at 7:30 in the morning.
Yes, because we have a 7:30 sales meeting.
Oh.
How did you feel this morning?
I feel great.
Yeah,
I feel great.
I want to tell you something. I don't know what your metabolism is, Clementine, but really, you came in and you had two of those drinks that knocked the gang on their ass. You had two in the space of 10 minutes and started a third like, hey, this is nothing.
And remember the Madonna.
Who can forget that?
She did a great job with that.
Yeah. And I'm ready for more, too.
Thank you and your husband for driving
me out there.
I appreciate it.
No problem. I had a blast. It was so much fun.
Get into the groove. All right, well, listen, Clementine. Oh, my darling Clementine.
Thank you so much for my ride. Oh, my darling Clementine.
I hope when Mike is passed out in your car, you didn't do anything like undress him. Oh, my darling Clementine.
I woke up and I was naked. Oh, my darling Clementine.
Well, thanks, guys.
Clem and Augie.
Thank you.
All right, Clem.
Thank you.
See you
later.
Bye,
guys.
Bye, honey. Bye-bye.
Oh, she's much more mellow today.
Sure. You know, I think of all of them.
Yeah.
You appear to be the worst for wear.
Yeah, absolutely.
Buzz has bounced back.
She's incredible. She was here at 7:30. That's just amazing.
That's astounding.
She's bounced back. Buzz has bounced back.
Yeah.
You're bouncing. I mean,
whatever.
You haven't bounced back.
I feel pretty... No, I don't. I'm not going to sit here and lie just because of those two people.
Well,
you know, the bottom line is Clem's a lot younger than I am, and Buzz is a lot older. That's explaining it.
Hello, worked. Terry, Don Mike Show. Hello, Terry.
Hey, Don Mike, Rob.
Hi.
Buzz. Sorry about that, Buzz. Hey, Mike, you want to hear the most annoying sound in the world?
I'm not in that state. I'm not in that kind of state where that's going to bother me.
I don't think you're going to get it with
that. I don't have, like, the, ice pack on the head throbbing. I have a fatigue factor, I think. And I probably got more sleep than anybody in the long run.
But wasn't, as Deepak Oprah would say, wasn't restful sleep.
No,
it was fitful.
On a diet
fitful.
Joke.
It was
fitful sleep.
That's right. You had the beverages fighting it out in your system. Mm-hmm. You have the absinthe trying to put up the good fight. Then you had the caffeine from the Diet Coke coming in. And at one point, they merged and they meshed. Mm-hmm. And the absinthe won.
And then I came home and I ate a roast beef and cheese sandwich that I tried to cook on the grill. And I didn't cook it that well because I just moved into the house and I didn't have any condiments. So it was dry, and I choked on it.
Oh, dear. Be careful.
Now, that wouldn't have been a pretty picture.
No, it was kind of disgusting, actually. Actually came out of my mouth.
What if, God forbid...
That it had gotten lodged in my throat?
Mama Cass.
And, you know, then it would be that... I'm not even thinking Mama Cass. I'm thinking the whole... He's going to... You know, someone's going to say, what are you doing grilling a sandwich?
Right.
You know, a dry sandwich.
I know. Well, I got a new stove... that has one of those, it's not a grill, it's called a griddle.
Mm-hmm.
It's the flat metal
oh,
part.
Oh, I understand. Right. Okay.
It takes a long time to heat up, and I waited for it, and
see,
I was impatient.
I thought you went outside, like, to your Weber
no,
grill.
No, that's not hooked up yet.
Because I didn't know how...
That's not hooked up yet.
...how festive you were still feeling.
I had the roast beef and cheese sandwich that didn't melt because I didn't leave it on the griddle long enough because
yeah.
I was impatient and a frozen Kit Kat, and that really just that made me wake up seriously about 2:30 in the morning with the I got the fire.
Hello, Joe. Fire down below. Fire in the hole.
Not that that Robert's lasagna is going to affect me that way.
Hello, Joe. Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hey guys, the next time you guys do one of those shows, you gotta have Fez back on. You know, we don't get to hear him here out in this part of the world, but that guy is absolutely hilarious.
Yeah. Agreed. Yeah, he's good. He's good. Well, maybe somebody will be able to help Ron and Fez get their show out there.
Yeah, they should be.
They're both very funny.
You know what I'm saying. Hello, Don and Mike show. Things might be happening from what I hear.
Good.
But all I do is just read the trades.
I understand.
That's all I read. And the New York Daily News. Or was it the Post? I don't know which one it was.
Daily News.
Interesting headlines.
Yeah.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, hi. I just wanted to inform you that the reason that absinthe isn't sold in the United States is because the active ingredient is poisonous in high quantities. It's a substance called Tujone.
Sir, stop.
Then how come everybody's
alcohol,
alive today?
Alcohol is poisonous in the wrong quantities. No, it's illegal in this country because of a bad reputation. I'm sorry, you're disqualified. You don't know what you're talking
about.
Ladies
and gentlemen.
Look up Thujone on the...
I have read more about Thujone than you will ever know.
Really?
Yes, really.
Do you have one of those cool t-shirts that has the molecular structure on it?
Not yet, no. But someday, a boy can dream.
Yeah.
Why are you raining on our parade right now?
I'm not trying to rain on your
parade. Listen, even if the stuff did cause you to die of poisoning, I'm telling you, everybody on the crew that had it yesterday is here today. They're alive. So it's a miracle.
In Europe, they sell that in restaurants and bars over in Europe. They sell it as a regular liquor.
Right.
It's a regular liqueur.
They sell it in juice boxes for kids. In Europe.
Europe, they're way ahead over
here. That's how safe it is.
They are. Okay, get out of here now.
Okay, bye.
All right.
Okay, see you.
Okay,
bye.
Try to enjoy life.
Ask Hello, Don and Mike show.
I will tell you, more than anything I've ever consumed, I would say this to anybody. I wouldn't try that, unless you're, with friends, and maybe you do have somebody like Dom was yesterday that is responsible in the room. I mean, I just think it's not stuff you want to play around with.
Well,
I don't know what kind of warning that is or why the hell I'm
I think you just like did a commercial for it, actually.
But seriously, I would not have... what did the fella Jacob say yesterday?
He said,
that's what I call him, Jacob.
Jacob the Lion.
Jacob Smirnoff. I said, he said three or maybe four. I think it's three, and I think, if you did more than that, you're going to start playing with fire.
That guy Jacob had, I think, five or six?
No.
By the time he left yesterday. Yeah,
really?
He had, by the time we asked him how many he had, this I distinctly remember, he was on his third, maybe starting his fourth, but I saw him out in the hallway.
Did you see him when he was pouring the water over the sugar cube, though? Did you see the hand steady?
No, I did not.
Not steady? No, there's a little...
Well, that's because he hadn't had any yet.
Yeah.
You have the shakes happening? You have the bad shakes?
I don't know. It looked to me like maybe there was a tremor.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hello, gentlemen.
Hi there. We're doing great, thank you.
Great. I just want to let you know that you can buy in the United States. I'm a beverage distributor for adults, and I sell it.
Well, here again, sir, God bless you, but no, the stuff you're selling doesn't have Thujone in it. That's the American fake absinthe that really isn't the same thing at all.
Sir. It doesn't have the wormwood abstract.
Right. I think it's spelled ENTE, right at the end? Absinthe?
Correct. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's the phony stuff.
Is Buzz an expert on this or what?
Yes, he is on top of
it. So the stuff we had yesterday had that worm.
That was the real stuff, yeah. And the best tasting.
Wormwood.
Right. Hello, Don and Mike's show.
Hey, Don Mike, how you guys doing?
Hey, how you doing?
Hi.
Hey, Mike. Buzz, hi, how are you?
Thanks.
You guys were hilarious last night. I loved your show last night. It was wonderful.
I'll tell you what Buzz wasn't into last night. Was walking in a straight line. Down to the parking garage.
That's overrated.
Trying to load Buzz into the car.
Right.
I got a lot of this walking in circles and then going, hold on, I want to go over here for a second. I want to walk over here for a second.
I want to just walk over here.
Hey, it's all good.
And there was nobody over there.
I'm over here now.
Wanted to walk over
Nobody
there.
You could see.
Yes, hello, you're on the air.
Hey, You guys were great last night.
Oh,
and I just wanted to say, Mike, Don, I'm sorry. Well, actually, both of you. The interview you guys did with Brian Wilson a couple weeks ago or a couple days ago, that was fantastic. That had me so moved.
Yeah.
He really gave a great interview.
Right.
You set that up.
Okay, thank you.
Hi, Don and Mike show. Send me a fan letter.
Don,
okay?
Thanks you.
I don't want to hear that crap on the show. Send me a letter.
Is that what it is now? Send you a letter.
Send me a letter.
He loves letters.
Send me a letter.
I know I'm good. You know, you don't have to tell me. Thank you. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
We just patted each other on the back.
Hello. What can we
That's
do
pretty
for
good.
You?
I was wondering which bottle it was you guys drank yesterday, because I went to the website last night, and I was like, you know, five or six different kinds. I was thinking about
Buzz?
The same one.
I have to recommend the Absinthium 1792. That's the best tasting, and it's powerful stuff.
Ah, excellent. Yeah, holiday's coming up, and I'm going to try to get a couple bottles.
All right, dude.
Good, enjoy.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you.
Bye-bye, booze show.
We've started.
Like the Pat Goss of booze right
Look
now.
Look what we have started. God damn.
Bye.
Hello, one more. We got time for one more, then we got a break, because we got somebody of note coming up. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi, it's Karen.
Karen?
Rob, play me in.
Hold on. We found it.
She's a doll, she's a queen, she's a tantalizing teen. And Karen is her name.
That's me.
It's Karen, that's her.
She's a
Karen. She's the only caller that has a jingle. Karen.
That's Karen.
So Karen, what are you calling for?
Well, I think Mike needs to hear the rip torn, did I get hit by a taxi? Because that's what he kind of sounded like later on.
No, we all know that. No way.
Karen, we're going to wind this up before the end of your jingle. So let me just say in 5 seconds or less, goodbye, Karen.
She's alarming.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Really very charming.
See you. Karen.
She is.
Oh, and she hung up.
Yeah.
Isn't that nice?
Did I really sound like Rip Torn yesterday? I was hit by a taxi.
You sounded like a lot of people.
Okay.
Yeah, Mike, you were a very talented mimic. You sounded like a lot of people yesterday. I don't think you had any Rip Torn in you.
I don't think any of the other personalities, the real ones, came out.
Because the truth is that Rip Torn thing, that was Rip Torn. That's the angry.
That's right. He's not drunk.
You weren't the angry guy. You were the happy guy.
Hard to be angry with that stuff.
You were really happy.
Yeah.
Okay, guys, when we come back, first let me just say,
it's Veterans Day.
It's very good.
We salute.
Absolutely, we do.
A crooked cross the Nazis blew, and the Russian hammer and sickle, too. Time bombs in the lives of men.
It's right. Veterans Day.
Uh-huh. Right. Amen. Man, that is downer music right there. Jerry and Larry don't think so, though.
There's a pick-me-up. Okay, everybody, see if you can hike your pants up. But get, you know what? This is not a cold.
Splash some cold water on our faces. Is that what it is?
Oh, dear.
Because I'm. Coming up next.
That might just push me over.
You know what helped that throat out?
What?
A nice big plate of Bob the Mailman's jambalaya.
When we come back, we'll talk to Joey Pants.
Those aren't sausages.
Really?
Oh.
Yeah. Did you even catch who it is?
Joe Pantoliano.
There you go.
Did I get the name? I'm very close. Pantoliano.
That's what we call him, Joey Pants.
My God, we're going to talk to the headless body on The Sopranos.
Yes, right after this.
That's exciting.
Yeah, thanks.
This is the Don and Mike Show. WJFK.
You're just a little slow, aren't you? Just a little bit?
Yeah, sorry.
Okay.
Traffic lady. Where are you, baby?
In Virginia, authorities are working an accident on Route 29 at George Mason Drive. Also, seems to live west on 66 from the Belt to Nesson Street. Did you know radiator failure is a major causer of roadside breakdowns? Have your neighborhood busy with technicians to fix your radiator today. And keep your car running like a well-oiled machine. I'm Michelle Hughes for the Don and Mike Show on WJFK.
WJFK.
It's fucking awful. It's a young man. Heart disease. The silent killer. Hey, there are worse ways to go. Even still, I'm the bitch you're doing. Pretty f***ing humiliating. It's how Elvis died. That guy in Hollywood, too. Don something. But those sort of Simpsons.
The Don and Mike Show.
Working amongst the drones, the Don and Mike Show.
Right, right. Rich Eisen will be on tomorrow for the NFL Friday show. Rich is, of course, on the NFL Network with Total Access. Rich is sponsored by Tower Records, Tower.com. No one has a bigger selection of the music and movies you love than Tower.
All right.
Joey Pants.
Wow.
Oh, this is a good time. This is him. Hey, Joe?
Yes.
Hey, all right. This is a thrill. Joe Pantoliano.
Pantoliano. You got me confused
Panto.
With Hector Elizondo.
Joe Pantoliano.
And Robin Bronk.
Joe Pantoliano.
That's why they call me Joey Pants.
Yeah, right.
Joey Pants is the best, and it's great to have you on the show. It really is.
Am I on the show right now?
You're on the show. Yes.
Well, it was nice talking to you guys.
Thanks so much for coming on.
Joe,
thank you.
Joe, listen, we're lucky enough to get him. He wants to talk about a book, and we're more than willing to do that.
He wants to talk about the book.
Oh, yeah, we're getting Robin on the phone right now.
Yeah, hi, I'm here. And then we also have, Joey has some big news to announce about the Creative Coalition, too.
Okay, very good.
Why don't we start with that? We're going to be throwing the after party for the inaugural ball on the 20th of January. And it's going to be the party to end all parties. You know, this will be a big party town. And we are, the Creative Coalition is a nonpartisan arts advocacy group that I'm co-president of with Tony Goldwyn, and Robin's our executive director. And we're here meeting with all the Republican leaders, and we're going to have a big party to celebrate their wins and to talk about our agenda, what we stand for, and, freedom of speech and arts and education in schools and piracy issues and runaway production.
Joe, you mentioned this is a nonpartisan group, so you're having the after party. Does this mean, like, even if you, say, weren't going to be down there for all the inaugurals, that you could, whatever your politics are, you could pop into town for the late-night party and enjoy yourself? Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. I mean, really, this is a big announcement. Because we've been getting all kinds of calls, and I said to Joey, we got to announce it on Don and Mike.
All right, well, give me a timpani.
Well, that's good. Let's get the timpani.
Give me a timpani. This is really...
So we, in fact, we just closed the deal, our meeting about an hour ago, that we're going to be doing this. It's the inaugural after party. It'll be on January 20th in Washington, D.C.
Right.
It will also be a fundraiser for the Creative Coalition. But as you know, how there was the run on our tickets from the Democratic and the Republican convention parties,
mm-hmm.
there will only be about 600 tickets available.
Okay.
And I noticed with the Republican party, this summer, we had someone was selling our tickets on eBay for $25,000 a pop.
Wow. Whoa!
And we're having it at, it's at the Women's Museum.
The Women's Museum downtown?
Yeah.
All right.
Downtown here in D.C. And I know that you're a national show, so
yes.
we expect a lot of people to come in from all over the country. We'll have, first-rate talent there. And you know what? It'll be substance and style.
Substance and stuff. When you say after party, after the inaugurals, what time is this thing going to get rolling?
It's going to get rolling at 10:30.
10:30, very
good. Will there be any chance that anyone could abuse the substances?
Well, only if they do it with style.
With style.
Joe, I think I know, just from chatting with you for a second, which guy you voted for. I think it's probably the guy that we voted for, too.
You never know.
I don't ever know. For me, what happens in that curtain is like what happens behind that curtain, which happens in my bedroom.
Okay.
Nothing.
Nothing.
Then I'll ask you, as a guy that voted for Kerry, and I don't have a grudge like the other people, meaning everybody else in America, if I come to this party and I dare to wear my Kerry button or indicate that I was for Kerry...
Will you be thrown out of the party?
Yeah, but
I will personally throw you out.
Cool. I support the president and all that jazz, but if you come down and you say, I voted for the other guy, but I'm here to...
Well, he's sitting on the arch.
At the end of the day, that this is a celebration of, that we're Americans first, and party affiliation should be put aside. There was an election, and President Bush won it fair and square. And he's running the store, and there's a lot of Republicans. They get 5 more seats in Congress.
Yes, they did.
Right.
It's pretty clear. American people have spoken, and. We are what's important to us is our agenda. We First Amendment rights, freedom of speech, arts and education and public schools, runaway production that makes sure that that everything is on the level playing field so that work stays in the United States. You know, privacy issues affect me directly, affects my bank book and you know, the idea of putting food on my table.
You had to have voted
there
for Kerry.
That are real.
I'm not a smart man. You don't think so?
No.
You guys don't think so?
He's not going to tell us who he voted for.
But I'm just guessing. I mean,
are you guessing who I voted for?
Yeah. But, because I'm guessing with the things that you're talking about.
You're living in the past, brother. You've got to be in the now.
Now, brother.
This is the 10th of November.
No, it's the 11th of November.
Okay, see, I'm not even living in the now.
These tickets, now, are the tickets available? We've announced this thing for people. Can they go get these tickets
Absolutely.
Now?
Absolutely. They just need to call. Our Washington office is handling it. It's 202-543-9700, or they can go to our website, that's www.tcconline.org. And I guarantee you, these tickets will be sold out in the next 2 weeks.
Is this a black tie function?
You know what? It's
an open collar. You know, it's the after party. Everything's black tie, so people will show up in their tuxedos, but by then it's going to be like that, the old D. Martin Jerry Lewis look.
There you go. Yeah. I like that look. That's great.
We're talking about your book, Joe. Just because you're here, I have to tell you, The Fugitive, you're brilliant in that movie. I love you in U.S. Marshals. You know, The Sopranos.
Obviously, you didn't see Dr. Vegas.
I wasn't going to bring that up.
It died a swift death. Yeah. And God bless America for it, and God bless CBS for taking it off.
But a lot of
this is a man that doesn't have trouble getting work.
How are you, Joe? You get asked this 1,000 times, but I'm sorry, it's the only time I'll get to ask you. Maybe these people get to hear it. The reaction from your role on The Sopranos, especially the very end.
Probably, in my opinion,
the greatest moment?
The most dramatic storyline in the history of The Sopranos. That's the way I look at it.
The greatest moment in Sopranos history.
But it had to be.
For you guys to say that, it's really nice because we've gone through another season since that happened.
Right.
So, you know, it's like to maintain my legacy, I got to worry about season 6. And David Chase has had, you know, a lot of resting time. I guess they start shooting season 6 in March, you know, so I just got to mind my P's and Q's. Although, you know, it's like everybody's getting their due. Michael just won the Best Supporting Actor Emmy. Andrea won it. Steve was nominated. I won one. Jimmy and Edie have won a bunch of times. The show has won. Most of the stuff that I do, 90% of the work that I will have done when I retire was work to put food on the table. And in that 10% is where my legacy lies. And and The Sopranos is up there with the film.
I have to ask you about that scene because I know we were talking about it and everybody was talking about it. But the experience, I don't even know if you watch your own stuff, if you like to watch it or you don't. But the experience, I would imagine, of watching someone holding your head up, that had to be, what did that feel like? I don't know what it had to be like if it was me. What did it feel like looking at that?
Well, I didn't watch it.
You didn't?
I don't like watching myself.
Okay.
You know, being an actor, one of the occupational hazards of being an actor is you watch yourself grow old. And I can't frankly stomach the sight of me.
Hmm.
And so I didn't watch it. And, you know, the actual, that whole thing that happened in the storyline was done with a stunt guy. And a dummy. You know?
Right.
They used the other dummy, not this one.
what about one last thing about The Sopranos. Maybe you're the most famous scene. I sound like a retard saying this is so great, but because it was a great dramatic moment where you brought the girl out back at the Bada Bing.
Oh, horrible, yeah.
And it was, and also you should know that you changed the way that guys said the word whore.
For
a couple of years.
Robin and I were pitching the book, 5 Minutes with the President, but by the book that I wrote, Who's Sorry Now, about growing up in New Jersey, my mom used to say, she would give it 2 syllables,
yeah.
You know, hoo-ah.
Hoo-ah.
So I was imitating my mom when I said that.
Wow. It really caught on. I read your book, too, and your book that you wrote by yourself, and we'll give the book with Robin a plug. The book you wrote by yourself is really good.
Thank you very much. Actually, I wrote it with David Evanier, but we were very proud of it, the New York Times bestseller. And I think you should read 5 Minutes with the President, because there's a bunch of, it's like 55 high-profile celebrities with their agenda, and, you know, what they would do with the president. With at that time, it was, you know, whoever the next president is. And I think it's, some of it's really funny and some of it's real serious. I think it's a good read.
Well, you know, it'll be great if people buy the book. It's in the bookstores. It's on Amazon.com. A lot of the celebrities will be in town. They can autograph the book and make their money back on the tickets.
Wow. Now, what is this thing we're doing tonight? We should tell them we're here.
Oh, yeah, we're here.
Jazz Palminteri is coming in tonight.
I like that guy.
Let's talk about that, Robin.
Yeah, we are hosting the Washington, D.C. premiere of Chaz's directorial debut on a feature film, the film Noel, which stars Robin Williams and Penelope Cruz.
Paul Walker.
And Paul Walker and Alan and Adam Arkin. And so we're here at the MPAA hosting a big dinner with a Washington who's who and who's left and who's right.
Wow, you guys are busy.
Wow. We are busy. And then, but again, the big thing, the big news is buy the book, 5 Minutes with the Next President.
Okay, that's the first piece of big news, buy the book.
It runs the gamut between Tucker Carlson, Ron Silver, and Janine Garofalo, so you got it all.
Wow.
Everybody comes to our after party and can be personally thrown out of the joint by me.
Hey. All right, listen, the book, if you had 5 Minutes with the President, and what's the phone number again for the inauguration gig? Yeah,
it's 202-543-9700, and we just got a call from that office saying another 100 tickets have just sold.
Wow. Cool. Well, you're going to sell a few more than that.
There you go. Well, listen, like to meet you both on that night if possible.
Well, hey, you know what? Call that number,
202-543-9700. Just where you
go to
sticker, and I'll find you.
Okay. Joe, nice talking to you. Robin, I'll wait.
Fellas, thank you. We really appreciate it.
See you later.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
See what I think of you about you get off the phone.
Okay. A plugging machine.
Publicist nightmare.
My God.
I know. She would be a publicist's dream, actually.
Yeah.
She's the one who wrote the book with him.
Right.
The thing about
if you had 5 minutes with the president.
What celebrities would say.
He's a funny guy. We could have spent more time with him. I would have preferred, obviously, to spend more time talking about his stuff.
See,
you know, I go back to Risky Business with Joey Vance when he was fantastic.
You know, if anybody out there, hey man, they're listening, did an IMDb search on him real fast, I'm sure that his resume would have tons of movies that all of a sudden you'd go, oh, yeah, I remember him.
And you know, what a shame Dr. Vegas is, I think, his most recent ever. I think, that was on TV for, a half an hour?
Yeah, you know, and her chapter in the book, if she had 5 minutes with the president, she said if she had 5 minutes with the president, she could get the website out 70 times.
Well, you know, they sold their 100 tickets already, so that's good. Buzz, you on the site?
Yeah, I'm just going to IMDb now.
It makes me realize when we have someone on like that that's very involved with the Washington social scene, doesn't it bring home to you how outside of the loop we really are?
Thank God we are.
Oh, absolutely.
Thank God we are.
Thank God we're not Cokie Roberts.
So you don't think that he voted for Kerry?
I think he voted for Bush.
I think so. A lot of the Sopranos cast and a lot of real-life alleged mobsters voted for Bush.
I believe he did, based on the way he said it. Mm-hmm. He wanted fair and square.
Right.
Yeah, but you know... But
you never know. Also, the Creative Coalition has a lot of liberal influence.
That's what I'm saying. He's talking about, like, getting arts into the schools
and
stuff.
Right.
And
you never know with him.
And also, there's a lot... I've also run into a couple of people recently, and keep in mind, my circle of people that I come in contact with is very small, because as you know, I don't like people.
Mm-hmm.
I feel uncomfortable around people. So when I see someone, it's truly a joyous moment.
Absolutely.
Anyway, those...
a special moment. A moment frozen in time.
A moment that you share.
A moment frozen in time.
When he voted, do you think he wore his handler hat?
Those people, never mind about those people. Buzz?
Yes.
You got it?
He was in Memento. He was also in The Matrix, the original Matrix movie.
I forgot he was
in Cypher.
And you know, he was great in The Matrix. He was outstanding.
Yes, the original one.
Yeah, got killed off in that one.
The handler, there are a lot of them. He talked about the 90% of his career that he did to put food on the table.
Yeah.
In addition to Dr. Vegas, we're talking about the Adventures of Pluto Nash.
Didn't Dr. Vegas have Rob Lowe in it?
Yeah, he was the star of that.
You know what? Rob Lowe, I know for a fact, was a big Bush supporter.
Well, really? getting back to the thing about the people.
He was really? Yes.
I'm surprised.
Even though he was on the West Wing, a left-leaning show.
I've run into a couple of different people this week from different walks of life who voted for Kerry. And I'm going to get back to that same thing again. The guy said that he had to take the bumper sticker off his car. And what he did was he put it on the inside window.
Right.
He taped it to the inside window even after the election. Right. And that somebody smashed out his back windshield.
Wow.
Now, they didn't steal the car. They didn't steal anything out of it. They thought it was just because he had the bumper sticker on. It was after the election. And they couldn't peel it off.
It's amazing.
Time to take it down.
Taped it to the inside.
I regretted doing it.
Conversely, the other guy that I talked to, Phil Connors, he says to me, "Hey, I'm pissed that we're just having a discussion." He said, "You mentioned on the radio that you don't like all the signs up anymore. I'm going to leave." The guy lives about 8 houses from me. "I'm going to leave my sign up. I'm glad my guy won. I'm glad your guy lost. I'm going to spend every day telling you my guy won and your guy lost."
There's a lot of that feeling on both sides. Really?
I'm not aware of a lot of sour grapes on the losing side, but I do,
there's plenty of them out there.
If I had been on the winning side, I'd keep the bumper sticker in the window but I certainly wouldn't smash out the opponent, because then he can't drive by him and go,
I bet anyone who's that excited about Bush winning loved watching Joey Pants and Pluto Nash.
Hello, hold on, we got a better one than that. Frank in Reno. Frank?
Hey, what's happening, Don?
Hey, Mike? Frank. What's happening?
Hey, Joey Pants was fantastic in the Goonies.
Goonies?
Oh, that's right.
That's got to be the poll of the day.
Rocky Road?
The Goonies.
I like Goonies.
My name is Francis, and my name is Francis also, boys.
With Ann Ramsey.
Yeah.
That was her breakout performance.
There you go. She's never been lovelier.
That was pre-Throw Mama from the Train, Ann Ramsey.
Yeah. She has never been lovelier.
You seen the director's cut?
Yeah. That's got the full frontal.
It's tasteful, but nice.
Back when they treated her like a lady.
Oh, baby.
When she was on the Goonies, as opposed to the way she was treated in Throw Mama from the Train. When Danny DeVito looked at her as if she was some sort of monster. Yeah. Not the beautiful, sweet flower that she is.
The Goonies was really her last hurrah as a leading lady.
Lovely leading lady.
Anyway, thank you to Joey Pants.
Yeah.
Nice to talk to a guy that we like. And Robin Brock, so buy those tickets for that thing at that party and do what you want.
Amen.
When we come back, now we don't have a rebel billionaire. We don't have a guy like the guy from Virgin.
Okay?
We don't. We do have a rebel millionaire, and we will speak to him next.
All right, this is the Don and Mike Show.
How much for the little girl? The women. How much for the women?
What?
Your women. I want to buy your women, the little girl. Your daughters. Sell them to me. Sell me your children.
Maitre d'. Maitre d'.
You. How much for your wife?
The Don and Mike Show.
We're on a mission for the guy.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses.
Hit it.
Yeah.
Doobie Brothers. Right at the end, when they really started to not know what they were doing anymore.
Broadcasting with a belated sense of urgency.
But I love
Don Geronimo and Michael Mera.
But I love them, the Dubious Brothers.
You said their last hit?
Yeah, it was.
And I love that stuff.
Music is the doctor. Let's do a station break. Rochester, New York, that's a 10-year affiliate for us on WHTK. Dallas, 5105.3 FM. How about Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, WARM, and shout out to Sacramento, the mighty 1140 KHTK.
Been there a long, long time.
So the deal is that they've got the Apprentice Show,
right?
And they've got the crazy Mark Cuban, who is still listening to our show every night in Dallas and still emailing Beth Ann every day.
I like that.
Then you've got Donald Trump's show, and then I think I mentioned that. You got
that's the Apprentice.
Then you've got the Branson guy.
Yeah, and then you got the spinoff of it, the fake one.
And that's right. My big fat obnoxious obnoxious boss. And now we present to you the Rebel Millionaire. Not a billionaire, I don't think.
Okay. Well, he may be. Do we know that for a fact?
Well, I don't know. Ladies and gentlemen, the former president of the Baltimore Ravens, David Modell.
David Modell.
Raven. Dave. Don and Mike, how the heck are you guys?
Dave, welcome to the show. Are you a rebel millionaire or billionaire?
I'm not even sure I'm a rebel.
Okay.
I don't know if I fit in any one of those categories.
I bet you're a rebel.
Yeah.
I'm a rebel.
Yeah, and is it, as far as the other part, the other word, would the B word be there or the M word?
A B word and an M word have both been used to describe me, but not the two that you have in mind.
No, that's unfortunate.
But I don't think that I can say those on your program.
No, I don't think you can. Not anymore.
You can
so
tell.
You have a very clean-cut program now.
We do. Yes, we do now.
I got my haircut today to be on your program.
You got a haircut. Well, it's always important for radio. And we.
Well, you know what? You have a clean-cut program. I thought I'd take care of it.
We appreciate you evading our first question, so it's going to be great.
Thank you so much. This
very high-strung, rich guy who I met about a year ago, his dad, Art, owned the Browns and then the Ravens, and he took David
through. He personally took you through a trip through the NFL fantasy world.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Labyrinth.
Dave was nice enough to let me out on the field with the Ravens. And, you know, I should thank you, David, first off, before we make you sing. Because remember, that's the whole thing with him. He's a singer.
Right, yes. Yeah.
Now, that relationship, I don't know if you said anything or not, but the Ravens have continued to be very nice to me, even with you not being there. I'm going to be up there. I think Friedrich and I are going for the Cincinnati game.
Very good. And who will you be sitting with for the Cincinnati game?
I think maybe the guy who took your job.
Oh, really?
With Dick? No, I think with Slicky Steve? Boy. I think with Slicky Boy, Steve.
Oh,
with the owner. Yeah.
Very good.
Anyway, I appreciate all of that. And how do you feel now? This has got to be the first time. And how many years has it been since you've not been involved in an NFL season now? I mean, this is the first time. How many years before that?
25.
Wow. 25. How are you doing? Are you hanging in there? Is it driving you nuts? What's going on?
I'm hanging in there. It's, it's not driving me nuts. It's amazing what goes on in the real world outside of all of that. So it's been, it's been great. Michelle and I got married in May.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Which you may or may not have known about. But, so,
we did.
And we traveled a little bit and, a little of this and that. It's not the best, but it's good.
And I'm doing the math here, and I know that you married May, June, July, August, September, October, November.
Yeah.
6 months. Well, are you firing blanks?
You mean you wanted to announce a pregnancy?
Well, I thought that would be. I imagine the pressure is off of being the president
right?
of the Baltimore Ravens. You won
time.
The Super Bowl. You got the beautiful wife. Yeah, I would imagine.
You're waiting for another Modell?
That probably would happen without you even wanting it to happen. Probably.
Well, I have four children from my previous marriage, so obviously.
I know you do, but there's no reason that you can't.
It works.
The weapon totally works. The weapon works.
Is it seriously? So it sounds to me like it's been fun to actually have a life during this this time of year, which, I mean, in 25 years previously, I mean, you were working.
Yeah, and the weekends, and obviously, Don knows because he took the trip, and, it's a bit of a schlep. You do that every week, and blah, blah. So it's not been bad. It's pretty good.
All right. How about, for everybody on Live 105, how about those Ravens this year? How about that? Because you gotta be proud that even though they're doing the stuff, that's the team that you helped put together. They got some good free agent pickups, but it's still your Ravens team. You like them this year?
Oh, I'm very proud of them. Obviously, I am a Raven and will be forever. But I am proud of them this year. I think they struggled a little bit here and there, but they persevere and. Wear the snappy black outfits and win on national TV and what more can you ask for in life?
Will you be jumping back into the NFL anytime soon? I mean, is that it for you, or would you have an interest if somebody had the right situation for you that you'd get back into management of an NFL team?
I would find it hard to say that if a great opportunity didn't come along. That I'd have to look at it, but it would have to be an awfully good opportunity.
What if,
given
what
the fact my kids are here, and obviously, what I just said about being a Raven, and blah, blah, blah. But, you never know.
Will you ever go back to playing?
Will I go back to doing what?
Playing.
No, never again.
On the helmet again.
What about if a job like Miami opens up, and they get a clean house down there? What if they come to you and they say, hey, we got, here's the good news and the bad news. We got great weather. The bad news is the Dolphins.
Well, I don't think the Dolphins are bad news. He's the only team to have an undefeated season and all the history.
You know what this is right here? He just got some politicking right here from a guy who just 30 seconds ago said, no, I don't think so. Now he's just, you know, the crap of all the NFL teams. They're the worst.
But by the way, do you have any affiliate down there?
No, we're in Tampa.
We're in Tampa, yeah.
Oh, well, that does me no good whatsoever.
Anyway, Dave...
Can you get an affiliate in the next 5 minutes? So that you could do me some good here.
Yeah, but we can't keep him.
See, he wants back at it.
Sure.
He wants
free agent affiliates.
He wants back, but, you know, don't cry any crocodile tears for this guy, okay? Because it's not like he's waking up every morning and bathing in a bathtub of $100 bills, because he is. Okay? And I've been criticized on the show for my cigar purchases.
Yes.
Seriously, David, how many cigars now you think you got hanging around? How many thousands of boxes? And I am not exaggerating.
No, I don't have thousands of boxes hanging around.
How many hundreds?
Boxes of cigars, you never know. You know, the Ice Age may come, you need cigars.
Right. How many hundreds of boxes do you think?
No, boxes or how many cigars?
There might be 20 boxes of cigars in the house.
20 boxes of cigars. Well, wow. How many cigars, roughly, in your humidor?
I don't currently have a humidor.
He just see. Here's the thing: when you're a rich guy like David, and I've been to his office before, and he'll say, "Yeah, there's some cigars back there," and you go back there, and I'm not lying. There are 40 to 50 boxes of high-end Cuban cigars, which, incidentally, last time I checked, illegal in this country.
You must be mistaken.
You're reading those boxes. They must have been upside down.
They obviously were
upside down.
I think it was a different name. But I've never had a cigar with my name on it.
Oh, that's all right, like Don does.
Yeah, all right.
Have I ever had a cigar with my name on it? Not your name. Oh, wait. I've had a cigar with your name on it.
That was a spiff that they made for me at the company, and it's only because, you know, how am I supposed to compete? I'm up here with Mr. I've got everything. Look at this. I'm the president. What, you like cigars? I've only got 5,000 boxes of cigars. What, you're impressed by this little Super Bowl trophy? Here, let me take it out of the bag. Go ahead. Get your picture taken with it. Make love to it. I don't care what you How can I compete with that? I've got to give him one of the cigars that's got my name on the
your
plastic.
Special cigars. I've never even got one of those. Cigars,
and,
David.
And loved it with a beautiful case to boot.
Well,
absolutely, a little cigar case. Loved it.
David Modell, besides being a great NFL front office guy, being a truly nice guy to hang around with, party with, as we have on many occasions,
yes,
he is also a very frustrated singer.
Ah, now you mentioned this, I think, last year, and you talked about this on the show. You mentioned that this is his aspiration.
Yes. David wants to be...
Did I make the mistake of mentioning that to you?
Yeah, I think you did, David.
David wants...
Better with me.
David wants to be a cabaret performer. Mm-hmm. That guy, you know, we can say that the Arizona Cardinals could come calling.
What's going on back there?
So that's Rob Spiewak, David.
That's Rob.
It could be the Cardinals, it could be the Dolphins, or it could be the off-Broadway production of Annie Get Your Gun. It really doesn't matter.
What exactly...
No, Annie Get My Gun. No, how about the Cafe Carlisle, because Bobby Short's going to retire.
Is that the style you want? I was just going to ask that.
Well, that would be a pretty groovy gig, you know, because that seems like a great room to work and all. But, you know, but there is something to be said for the John Bon Jovi moment in your life, you know?
No, well, which is it, David? I mean, my God, there's a huge...
Well, we're going to get David to sing something for us.
All right,
now.
Very
really?
Good.
Yes, we've got some karaoke here.
What am I going to sing?
Well,
I like Doobie Brothers.
I'm going to give you the... hold on, I might have a Doobie Brothers song here. Rob, did we get
Leonard
that
Skinner.
CD?
Now, Bobby Short's never going to play the Doobie Brothers.
Hold on, I got to...
Well, he could do kind of a, you know... Old Black Water.
Hold on, we've got Taking Care of Business.
Works for
Hold
me.
On. We have. Do you know Long Train Running by the Doobies?
You know what? I'm going to be a little light on the lyrics here.
Yeah. Okay, hold on. Then let me give you a bunch of songs that we have for karaoke. No, hold on. We'll find something that you know the words to here.
Really?
Smoke on the Water. Smoke on the Water. Just tell me yes or no.
I don't know the lyrics to Smoke on the Water.
Okay, how about Mary Had a Little Lamb?
I you know what? I think that I could manage that one.
We'll start with that one, Robbie. Then we've also got The Rose, The Way We Were.
Nice.
They Long to Be Close to You.
Oh, They Long to Be Close to You.
Okay.
That's the extent that I know.
All right, here is...
That was an abbreviated Burt Bacharach. What?
We'll start with Mary Had a Little Lamb.
Right.
Ladies and gentlemen, former president of the Baltimore Ravens.
This is a special moment on the show.
Am I singing a cappella, or is it music?
Oh, no, we're going to feed the music down the phone.
You'll hear it.
How do you know what key that would this is in?
You'll know.
It's in the key of karaoke.
In the key of karaoke.
The Rebel Millionaire, Dave Modell.
This is my reality show.
Mary Had a Little Lamb, David Modell. Now, is there an intro here, Robbie?
I don't know. We did previews in it.
We did
previews. You really? I assumed that there was an intro.
Hold on, David. I think this is your intro. Like the disc jockey would. No, hold on. Not yet.
Right here.
That's it. It's a lamb whose fleece was white as snow.
I wish we could pick a better song for him.
Step up the air.
Bobby Short would never sing.
Why did I not come to your studio today to do this?
Yeah,
I don't know.
You should have done.
I excuse the high-tech JFK.
Right.
Okay,
what do we got here?
Carbon. Actually, I should go up and get in the bathroom so I can get a little reverb off the toilet.
David, here we go. Now, I'm sure you know where to jump in on this one.
I don't know what the...
Why do birds suddenly appear every time you are near?
Hey, Mike.
Thank you.
Why do birds suddenly appear?
That's very nice.
All right, take it away, David.
Every time you come near.
Come near.
Do it.
Like me, they long to be on Don and Mike.
Now I'm giving you some nice reverb here.
That was good. Yeah, that was...
Do you know the second lyric?
I don't know. I have no idea what's going on. Every time you walk by.
And now, David, take it from here.
Just like me, they long to be close to you.
On the day that you were born.
I gotta go.
The angels got together.
I gotta go. Are you going to stop set now? This is real. This is not national radio, is it?
All right, this is not a national
coast-to-coast radio that I'm embarrassed. Did you...
Turn that off.
It's good,
I thought I might get a job. Now there's no... Anyone who's listening to this is thinking, you are such...
Hold on, David.
No, I'll tell you, he's got perfect pitch.
David,
let's
get one more from you, David. We've got now some classics. We've got Oklahoma.
No.
Sound of Music. Hello, Dolly.
Wait. Sound of Music.
The Hills Are Alive with the Sound of Music.
Oh, The Hills Are Alive.
You want to go with that?
Well, David, you'd make us all happy if you gave that one a shot.
You think? Would that make you happy?
Yes, because it's got that great intro, and I did that. I did a lip sync to that in drag one time.
All right, let's
learning too much.
I thought it might make you feel better.
Let's
Irish lad, you.
Let's preview before David sings.
Yes,
because this is obviously the intro part. Beautifully done, Zanelli, by the karaoke performers. Jesus.
This is leading up to it. They've got a pretty good version of the intro.
Still wouldn't be.
I'll know this. Here. I know this by heart. I will cue David Modell on the count of three.
No.
Are you ready?
Oh.
1, 2, 3.
The hills are alive with the sound of insanity. There we go, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much.
Oh, okay. David. All right.
Oh, God.
Oh, so I'm going to be unemployed forever.
No, you'll be fine.
Underemployed forever.
So you really like singing, right?
I do like singing. Yeah, normally I would like to have an opportunity to kind of, if I were to really sing in front of people, I'd like to rehearse a little bit and
mm-hmm.
get my chops down and smoke 18 cigars a day.
So it's still just a fantasy and you haven't put together the complete lounge act yet.
Well, no, when I was in college, which... You know, it was a brief stint. You know, I was on stage. I sang and did shows and, really performed.
Can I request, David, from the Beatles collection, we have Yesterday. Oh. You have to know that one. Hey Jude. The Long and Winding Road. I Saw Her Standing There. Get Back.
Everyone knows. Oh, Get Back. JoJo was a man who thought he was a man. I don't know the lyrics that well.
No one
knows.
Yeah, I know. Doesn't matter. Here we go. One more with the Rebel Millionaire.
You mean I can embarrass myself without knowing the lyrics?
Of course.
Thanks, Rob.
This will be pretty obvious that we're
using. No. Yesterday.
Oh, he wants Yesterday.
Make it right.
Oh, that'll be pretty.
Close with a ballad.
Okay. That's his style.
Okay.
It's the Bobby Short thing.
And, again, this will have a short intro, I bet.
Nope.
David Modell. Right here.
Yesterday, all my troubles seemed so far away. That it looks as though I'm here to stay. Oh, I believe in yesterday. That was not bad.
Man, he went up.
Not bad at all.
We got a little range on that one.
Hey, way to go.
So this is how you pay back our friendship. This is how you do it.
I'll tell you something. You sing better than Robert Kraft does. You might be the best singer in the NFL.
You've just made my day. Better than Bob Kraft.
This is what Drew made of this guy. This guy is like not your typical tight-ass NFL guy.
No, he's not, obviously.
He's a lot of fun. Oh, David, one thing.
Yeah.
Tomorrow, we're going to have the smarmy, say that in the nicest way, Rich Eisen on.
We've established a bit of a tradition now when we have anybody on the show related to the NFL, players, managers, coaches, whatever, we've got a message that we'd like to give, a negative message for Rich Eisen.
Can you sing him an insult?
Because it's fun.
Singing insult to Graham?
Yeah, it's always just funny.
Who was the Ravens player that we had on that called him a Pop-Tart?
Terrell, I always screw it up, Suggs.
Terrell Suggs.
Yeah. I heard that.
Oh, that was great.
It's your program.
So he was on, and then Charlie Casserly was on and said something about him. You know, if you want us to help you with something, it could be like, hey, Rich Eisen, hi, this is David Modell.
Mm-hmm.
Since I've been out of football, I've had a lot of time to sit in conference.
One of the nicest things about being out of the game is not having to deal with guys like you.
And now I can reflect on what a total load you are.
You know, something. Yeah. You're a creative guy, David. You can do it on the fly.
You've got the background in theater.
My mother taught me to never say anything nasty.
No, but then you're just kidding here. You're not really saying anything
nasty.
You're
not saying anything really bad. You're just having fun.
I actually want to wish him well. I hope the gig is going well.
Well, it's going well. And
tell him that on your own time.
Couldn't you just say like, hey, Rich, this is David Modell. You're a jerk.
or anything.
Why would I say that? No, go ahead. Yeah.
All right, go ahead. We're going to record it.
Let's roll tape on this. This is a good one.
In
3, 2, 1. David Modell.
Hey, Rich, this is David Modell, formerly the president of the Ravens. Given your choice, because you're so erudite, would you prefer the fridge or the twins?
What kind of insult is that?
I'm not sure that's really an insult.
What kind of insult
is
that?
There's over our heads, and then there's sailing over our heads.
We told you
television?
We told you. I know you're talking about commercials, but we told you just to tell Rich he's a jerk.
Yeah, we're going to give it a
jerk.
David, we're giving you a second chance on this. That's not going to work for us.
Rich isn't.
Is this like baseball?
Yes.
Yeah.
David,
Rich is not a jerk, but it's funny to have you guys say he's a jerk.
You're participating in a great tradition. We don't have the other tapes here handy, but trust me, everybody's done it.
I heard Terrell, but so this is kind of like your superstition.
It's just a little ribbing.
Because I know you're a superstitious guy. That's
a little friendly.
All right,
ribbing.
I'll participate on that.
Just got to say he's a jerk.
I don't want to sound extremely lame.
Right.
You know, as a matter of fact, I imagine tomorrow when we have him on, we won't just play the tape of you saying hello. We'll play this entire 3-minute coercing you.
Coercion,
twisting your arm to get you to say he's a jerk.
Yes,
and then he's going to think that I'm a complete dope, too.
Don't worry.
We're going to
give it another go.
I'm
tired of this persuading in 3, 2, 1.
David Modell.
Rich, this is David Modell. I am the fired president of the Ravens. Ordinarily, I'd be very angry about that. But because I don't have to deal with schlubs like you, my day goes by beautifully every day. Hope you're having a great time. Dope.
Wasn't that fun? I'm telling you, is this guy the real thing or what?
That was sweet. I like that a lot.
That was beautifully done. I am not kidding. Make sure you're listening tomorrow. We'll have Rich on about 5:30.
I listen every day, day long.
Very good.
Yeah, what else you got to do, right?
Yeah.
Besides spend money, take baths in money, look at the Super Bowl trophy. Now, did you have to leave the trophy with the team or did you get to take it?
What do you think, pal?
what would you do?
All right.
Well, you know, listen, you know what I would do. You couldn't get that thing out of my arms. I swear to God.
Yeah.
And how is Michelle now? Here's an important question.
Yeah.
Does she still like you? I know that you know this is an important question when people get married.
Mm-hmm.
She liked you. She loved you. I'm sure she does love you. But now that she's been married to you for 6 months, does she still like you? And more importantly, have you come up with a plot yet to cover up her untimely demise? Because I'm just saying, most married guys either go one way or the other.
I would say that I'm still it's still, you know, five and a half days of the week she still likes me. That's pretty good.
That is excellent. That's sounds like a newlywed to me.
Progress. She's great. She loves me. She still loves the chicken cutlets.
and things are going so good on your part. Not even one time during the last 6 months have you ever thought about something that might just look like an accident.
Don, you have to remember, he's a newlywed. You've been married for 20 plus years.
I know.
He's not going to relate to that.
I'm just wanting, you know.
No, I haven't, but if Michelle is listening, please don't give her any good ideas.
Yeah, or you know, for absolutely, could be the other way around.
Yeah,
it could be. Oh, David, I'm up here doing some work on the street. Can you help me? Oh, it seems I've sliced your head clean off.
Well, yes, I've seen Dirty Rotten Scoundrels.
With that turkey cutter thing, you know, that electric turkey cutter.
Yeah, right. Okay, Rebel Billionaire, it's great to talk to you, David.
Hey, when you're up in the ballpark, I'll be over in our suite. You should come over and say hello.
Oh, you can count on that. That's a date. Oh, what I love that. And I know that
Art and Pat would love to see you as well.
Oh, yeah. And, you
Patty's
know,
favorite. She took a cotton to you, young man.
You know, your mom and dad really, you know, besides the fact that I was up your dad's butt, Art's butt, just because he's Art Modell.
Of course.
Really, David's mom, Patty Modell, is the greatest.
Very good.
She
5 minutes with Art. And you ended up spending hours with my mother.
Yeah.
You're giving her the whole business about you remember her on TV.
Your mom is great.
People's Choice. And she's going, God, darling, I love you.
I used to be on General Hospital, you know. And she did. She did. David, great to talk to you. We'll see you at the Cincinnati game. And, you know, what can I say? Keep living the life that all the rest of us wish we could.
Mm-hmm. I will practice hard for you.
Beautiful wife.
Thanks, David. Thanks for coming on the show.
Good to talk to you guys. Be well.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Tell your money I said hi.
That'll laugh.
He's truly nuts.
Yeah.
What, Mike?
Is he gone?
Yeah.
That's like Ken Stevens walking out of our office in the old days. it's like we didn't want to leave the room. I don't know who didn't want to leave the room first.
Anyway, that's Dave. He's the crazy millionaire.
Okay, so long. Yep. Yeah. Okay, and bye.
We got a break. We'll be right back. Oh, we'll see. When we come back,
yes?
We'll get some reaction from yesterday's show from a totally innocent bystander.
Oh, very excited.
Nancy Yodel.
Oh.
Be right back. Yeah.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Go crazy someplace else. We're all stocked up here.
The Don and Mike Show.
How are you anyway? The Don and Mike Show.
Let me see. I had stuff that I was supposed to read. We're giving away a Carnival cruise next week to the destination of your choice.
Wow.
Courtesy of AOL for broadband.
That's a nice surprise.
And, you know, Rich Eisen will be on tomorrow from the NFL Network.
Yeah, wait till he hears what David Motel had to say.
Which is brought to you by Tower Records, Tower.com. No one has a bigger selection of movies and music you love at Tower.com. I'm done with that today, right? They probably don't want to hear that right after I've read it. I'm done with this today, right? That's the last time I have to read that piece of blasphemy today.
Hey, it's not blasphemy. It's good info.
I only said it to hit the intro.
You did?
Joining us now is a girl who I believe could have been emotionally scarred by yesterday's episode. We're going to have to make sure she's okay because you guys were out of control when Nancy was on the phone.
I wouldn't have any memory.
I don't recall that.
Now, I know that she's got stuff she's going to want to talk about from her show,
and I want to
Access Hollywood. But I do want to make sure she's okay. Here she is now. Oh, Access Hollywood, 7:30 on NBC4 around the country. Please check your local listings. Here's Nancy Odell. Nancy? Nancy?
Oh, Nancy.
I'm emotionally scarred. I can't speak.
How have you been, Nancy?
I have been just fine. How have you been? And more importantly, how are you feeling today after yesterday's episode?
Let's go to Mike and Buzz. Mike, Buzz, tell her how you're feeling.
Buzz, why don't you go first?
I don't remember doing a show yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, Nancy.
I feel very bad today, Nancy.
What is like the absent hangover like?
Well, the absent hangover, I think about 11 o'clock this morning is when it was finally really. I felt like it was out of my system. But I'm dragging today. I'm very, very tired.
Do you have like a headache?
No nausea, no headache. It's just a, I just feel like I was at the party a little too long last night.
I feel great.
And I think that you were, maybe.
And, Abby, you know what? Can I say, really, the very last thing that I did before the lights went out, before I passed out into a beautiful slumber, was on my TiVo, I watched Access Hollywood.
Oh, you're so cute.
And I can prove it. I am telling the truth because I was really amazed in my drunken stupor, I was going, 60 years old. Diana Ross really is hot.
At least she recognized what was going on in your absent mind.
And she can relate to that.
What I thought was interesting yesterday, I don't know how you could react, Nancy, because you're on a telephone, you hear disc jockeys screaming at you. But I had three guys, and one of them whose sexuality on occasion has been brought into question. We're talking about Aunt Fez.
Yes, Aunt Fez. We don't know really where he comes from.
And we had Buzz, Mike, and Aunt Fez, and all three of them were jockeying for position with you. Each of them wanted to say the cutest thing.
I wanted to impress the lady.
That would impress you.
That's what I wanted to do.
And I think, Mike, on more than one occasion, as if you had just bought a television, you kept saying, Nancy's very pretty.
Like
you just figured this out.
I'll say that sober. Because I get home a little too late to watch the show locally, I have just recently gotten moved to a new house, gotten everything up and running, and now I TiVo it, and I watch it always. And so I think the combination of that and the absinthe just caused me to lose control.
Now, what did you think? I know normally you must hang up the phone with us on a normal day and just want to throw up anyway.
I love my normal day. Yesterday was just, it was a little more of a circus, but it was entertaining. It was like, kind of, you know, instead of watching a train wreck, kind of listening to a train.
That's exactly it. So tonight, and Mike, last thing about last night when you got home.
Yes.
Was part of it that you got home and you were buzzed and you were ready to, you know, start the crash landing, that you turn on the TV and and I know it had to be a weird sensation that when you were at the peak of your absinthe high drunk thing, you're talking to Nancy, and then it's funny to go home and think, now there she is on my TV.
Yeah.
Is that part of it?
Yeah, and I'm sure that the feeling was, man, I certainly impressed her yesterday. Man, oh, man.
An imitation.
No, it was actually, I sound like me, don't I?
An imitation of yourself.
Uncanny. No, it was
Are you sure you haven't had a little absinthe today, too?
Maybe it's some of it still in my system. I'm not sure.
Anyway, Nancy, thanks for being a good sport yesterday.
It was always fun.
The boys like talking to you. I love the fact you're on a much clearer telephone today.
Yesterday I was on my cell phone. Today I'm on a landline.
I'm
a woman on the move. I gotta, you know, do the cell phone thing.
It's a hard line.
I gotta look Hollywood every now and then.
Okay, let's talk about Accent Hollywood. Three things tonight. First, that Tool, Nick Lachey.
Nick comes to us and he sets the record straight. He's very upset about all these tabloid reports that he and Jessica are on the rocks. And, in fact, he gives the example of how one magazine says they're off having this romantic weekend, and then the next one says they're splitting up. So he says all the rumors that the marriage is on the rocks are all lies, but you got to tune in just to see his reaction and how adamant and kind of angry he gets about it and, you know, how it's obviously, you know, affecting him personally.
I wonder if he doth protest too much.
Yeah, I was going to say, Nancy, come on. I know we've been through this with you. We're not going to get you to say anything bad, but I'll tell you an outsider's perspective of this. Why would this guy ever want to leave her, except for the fact that it must drive him crazy that she's more talented and popular than he is every day?
I would think so.
But see, from a woman's perspective, he is so precious and cute and so talented. That's from the woman's perspective. And I know you think that I just don't want to say anything, you know, not nice about anybody, but it's so true. He is just...
If I could just...
she is beautiful and hot to you guys.
If I could just say...
beautiful and hot to us women.
Last word on this, and then I'll drop it, because you're probably right and I'm wrong, but let me just say, Ben Affleck said all the same stuff about Jennifer Lopez.
Yeah, and has it been your experience when, and I'm just using a hypothetical situation with any celebrity couple, when this kind of stuff happens, and you get a situation where they come out and they say, hey, we're doing fine, and they have to reassure their public, sometimes that's, 2 months, 3 months down the road, we find out, well, maybe things weren't all that good.
I can't imagine when you have that, you know, on every single magazine cover that you're breaking up, that could be really helpful. healthy on your relationship.
Right.
I mean, it's got to make you paranoid about how you appear in public and what your body language says. And but he gives, if you watch tonight on the show, he gives very good examples of things. Like there's one magazine that shows a picture of him at an airport with a, quote, mysterious blonde.
Mm.
I won't give it away because I'll tease you for the show tonight. But when you find out who it is, you're just like, oh, no one, you know, it's just like no wonder they're fed up with it all because it's
okay.
Well, yeah, we'll see who it is. But
it's also kind of keeping them. Listen, just mark my words. I know you think he's wonderful. She's wonderful. I agree. She's great. I just think he's.
No, you don't think he's going anywhere either, right?
Right.
You think
he's there for the rest.
Yeah, I agree.
Why would he possibly leave the best deal in the world?
Yeah, you never know. You never know. But I mean, I think you're right.
Okay.
But she became very big because of a show she did with him. You know, the Newlywed Show.
Yeah, right. I mean, she could do the Jessica is now separated show. The Jessica meets somebody new show.
Jessica kicked him out show.
Also,
you're wreaking havoc on cute couples.
Also tonight on Accent Hollywood, now this is kind of queer. I just have to tell you, I'm a guy. It's a queer thing. You have a crush on Rick Springfield. So you're going to interview Rick Springfield.
This is a childhood crush. It's not like a current day crush. I have to say, after I did the interview with him, my crush became deeper.
So you had a crush on him back when he was on General Hospital.
Yes, when I would run home from, like, you know, junior high and watch him on the TV, and I was very jealous of Bobby, who was dating on the show, the redhead-headed nurse.
Oh, I remember her. Yeah.
Said he was dating her. So.
Hold on. If you give me a second, I can come up with that lady's name. And I'm not using
Bobby. I think I know exactly what she's talking about.
Was her first name Jackie?
Yeah.
And the point, the last one, I don't remember. But yeah, I liked her even back then on General Hospital.
Yeah, she was good.
Right.
And you had a crush back then.
Yeah, I did.
But, now, but this is our
childhood
crushes, and now you get to see them, you know, modern day today. And he still looks good, and then he sang for me. He sang Jesse's Girl, and I kind of have to say that I was a little kind of, you know, excited.
We had old Rick on the show a million years ago, didn't we?
Yeah, we had him, like, once when he was coming back and once when he was trying to come back again.
Right, absolutely.
Yeah.
Very cool.
You know, you hear these people, and you go, how could he not be selling a million-to-one records out there now because he starts singing and, you know, for the show, and you're just like, oh, my gosh, he's so talented.
And when you told him that you had a crush on him, how did he react?
Yeah, exactly.
He was so cute. He was a little shy. He was embarrassed.
Mm-hmm.
He was embarrassed?
He sang a song for me. He substituted my boyfriend's name into the Jesse's Girl and said he wished he had Keith's Girl. It made me feel very...
So everything was very...
I bet he was singing that from the heart.
Yeah.
Are you trying to be sarcastic?
Well, maybe he had a crush on you, too.
No, I'm not being sarcastic at all. I'm saying that perhaps, you know, in Rick Springfield's dream world, when the cameras went off, he would say to you, you know, listen, I think that's very sweet that we had, you know, that time and you liked me when I was on General Hospital.
Did you really have a crush on me?
Yeah. What time do you get done with the show? That's what I'm thinking. Nancy, we're out of time.
He's been married for 20 years. He's a happily married man. And
okay.
Sexier.
Let me also mention that Avril Lavigne is on the show tonight. And Nancy Odell, who yesterday was treated...
Shabbily?
Beautifully by you guys.
Oh, I'm very sorry.
I didn't have a voice. I felt very absent.
I'm so sorry. I'll never do it again. Maybe not.
We'll talk to you.
All right.
We will talk to you tomorrow. Watch Nancy and Billy tonight on Accent Hollywood, okay? We'll see you tomorrow. And remember, our time together is always so nice.
Interesting. Our time together, like Lawrence Welk or something.
Yeah. Thank you for calling, my little Vienna sausage.
All right, my sweet little buttercup.
She's reciprocating.
We're playing. Okay, bye, honey.
Bye.
Here she is, Nancy Yodel from Accent Hollywood.
You give and give and give, and now you're getting back a little bit.
Yeah, about that.
And what am I but a sloppy drunk?
My little tasty Vienna sausage.
Just trying to impress my lady.
Pretty. Yeah, she is. She's pretty. And I can picture you at home in your underwear getting just coming off that drunk. You know what I mean? Where you've had enough Diet Coke that you're kind of sober, and you also want to go to sleep, and you've had something to eat, and you turn on the TV, and you just go, she was on the radio today. I've done that.
What did you do? Get a camera in the room or something?
No, I've done it.
You know, you're scaring me just a little bit.
He's
been there. It's a little scary accurate. How do you know the underwear part? He's been there.
I'm going back to the Red Sox story. When you had your underwear on in front of Carla?
Yeah, I like my underwear in the house.
The scary thing is Don does it with Rich Eisen.
And what's scary about it?
It's not scary to me.
Nothing scary at all.
I've seen it too much.
A lot of times Ralph would call me and say, what are you doing watching Rich Eisen? He goes, oh, And then I'll throw in, like, I'm watching Commando. And he'll say to you, are you watching a show? No, I'm watching Rich Eisen. I'm Commando.
Well, that'll keep being disturbing through the weekend.
Yes, and the better you feel, the more disturbing it will be.
All right, affiliate cities. Here we go. Important news. Not really. There's a list of the meanest cities in the United States.
Oh, yeah.
For the year 2004, the top 15...
The meanest.
Meanest cities.
Really?
I will tell you as I look at the list, you know, we are currently on in 38 to 43 markets.
All right.
However, having said that... Oh, I just did that thing that Frida hates.
Yeah, I didn't
having
notice.
Said that.
Having said that.
We are in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of our cities are in the 15 meanest cities in the United States. This survey just put out today.
Very exciting.
Just put out today. I'll tell you first that the obvious winner is not there.
Of course it's not.
Sacramento is not there.
Of course it's not.
However, I think you're going to be able to parlay this because the number 8 meanest city in the United States is, in fact, San Francisco, where we are heard on KYCY, but most of our calls from San Francisco come from people who are listening, as the earlier guy did, on the Sacramento station.
And he was a hump.
He was.
Right.
He was. Then you have Dallas, Texas, where we're heard late night. And that's when people are their meanest.
Really? I never thought of Dallas as being a mean city. I've only been to Dallas one time when we went down and we did a football game promotion down there. But I thought it was a very nice city.
You also spent a couple nice hours in Dallas on the floor of the airport.
Yeah, but that was the airport. That doesn't count. Nobody bothered me.
Technically, that was in Dallas.
Yeah, nobody bothered me. They were all quite nice.
Dallas has a history of being mean to presidents.
Rob. He's right, you know.
Can't get much meaner than that, Rob.
No.
I mean, really.
Touche.
The meanest
Advantage Spiewak.
You should know. The meanest city in America is Little Rock, Arkansas.
Wow. That's number one?
That's number one.
Do they give any kind of reason why?
Yeah. Well, Mike, go there sometime.
Never been.
Okay. Number two is Atlanta.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Number three is Cincinnati.
Okay.
You can get that. Number four is one of our affiliate cities, and this one will really surprise you. Las Vegas.
Las Vegas mean?
Yes.
Okay.
Now, I guess not by the casinos and everything, but what they're grading is everyday people in everyday life.
And, you know, you really don't see anything outside of Vegas when you go there outside of the casino lifestyle.
Right.
But there is a bustling metropolis there, and maybe it is mean. Who knows?
You never know.
You don't like to leave the strip.
Let me see. There are two more that we're in. Here are some of the other cities on this list. Gainesville, Florida is mean. Mm-hmm. New York is mean. Yeah. Los Angeles is mean. Honolulu is mean.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Let me see. Key West is mean.
Yep.
Berkeley, California is mean. Nashville is mean. And we got two more that we're in. Austin, Texas is mean.
Really?
We're heard, again, in Texas. They got a thing with the show. We're on nighttime in at Austin.
No, that's pretty mean.
And Tampa Bay is number 12.
Yeah.
Tampa Bay on WBZZ.
Well, I think maybe the meanness has a lot to do with traffic, too. And I know that traffic is murder in Tampa. It's horrible.
The traffic's bad every year. Right. Everywhere.
Where's Washington, D.C.?
Not on the top 15 list.
Well, how's about that?
Because it's so nice.
Yes.
Hi. You know, I'm looking
friendly.
Look at our list of affiliates, and I'll tell you, they're just based on the phone calls that we get. Well, first, you know, as I mentioned, where the hell is Sacramento?
Yeah, I mean, that should be on there. I mean,
odd list.
It's also not the list of the most mental cities.
Now, you know, when I was talking about this with Beth Ann before, Buffalo. I don't put Buffalo on a mean list because people who live in Buffalo,
very nice.
They like Buffalo.
They do.
And they like the fact that we were up there.
They have fun. Well, they're some of the greatest sports fans in the world.
When we used to be on KV radio, do you remember like 15, not that long ago, but 12 years ago, we went up there. We did that remote at that crappy like lodge up there, but those people were so great.
They were into it. Nobody was more into the show. We had a great time with them, and they loved their bills up there.
They love to party. Buffalo gals, won't you come out tonight?
I want to tell you this.
You didn't sip a little of the extra absinthe, did you?
No, it's still coursing through my veins.
That was a senior song.
Based on our trip to this fine city for the Super Bowl, KIKK, our affiliate in Houston, I want to tell you something. That is one mean friggin' city, at least when we were there for the Super Bowl.
I agree.
I remember all of us felt very mean.
We sure did.
Every time we had to take a cab.
Something about the 3.5 hour cab ride from point A to point B.
And also, conversely, there is a list of the happiest cities in the United States.
Do you have that one?
Yes, I do. And the happiest city in the United States is Appleton, Wisconsin.
You would know that better than I would. What do you think about that?
That's possible.
That's a good happy place.
Do you rank Baltimore as a mean city?
Oh, no, I don't.
I truly don't.
Let me just say this. Baltimore is only a mean city if you get to know the people who live there. I mean, like, if you just came into Baltimore and went down to the Inner Harbor and said,
well, you probably have a very pleasant
I'm
gonna
experience. I'm going to have dinner, I'm going to watch a ball game, you'd think it would be real nice.
Then that's like Las Vegas. Las Vegas is very nice if you stay inside the Bellagio.
Sure.
But you go out to the tract housing.
Don't go out and get some aspirin.
Here's Jed in Vegas. Jed.
Aspirin.
Jed?
Jed.
Yes, hi. Oh, Ed. Hi, Ed. Ed. What's happening, Ed?
I've been in Vegas since 1997, and I'll tell you what, I turn on the news every day, and every day they find a new dead body somewhere in this town.
Really?
The attitude outside of the Strip is just unbelievable.
Why? Why so angry?
You know what? I don't know. Maybe they just gambled away their rent money at the 7-Eleven, you know, and they're driving home.
Ed, are you angry?
You know what? I like this town. It's an all right town. I met my wife here, and, you know, so I've been really fortunate here.
Have you had yourself experiences where people were mean to you?
Oh, my gosh. I was at a store, and I was just going out to my car, and some drunk guy started yelling at me. Hey, and actually, he wanted to pick me up.
What?
What happened? The drunk guy yelled and what?
He was mad because I walked behind his car when he was trying to pull out, so he threatened to beat me up, so I pulled out my tire iron and just said I'd crack his head open.
There you go. You're adapting, you know? Then.
There you go.
Yeah. Well, you know, Gabe, it sounds like you're going with the flow.
Thank you.
Way to fit in. You know, lead follower, get out of the way.
Right. I think that this could work for us either way. Because the station we're on in Green Bay kind of gets to Appleton, so we've got the nice thing covered.
Well, the people in Green Bay, the calls that we get from that station are fantastic.
Yep. However, I think we should look for big ratings in these markets because let's face it, we're not nice guys. We're mean guys.
And about as mean as they get.
I mean, really, we've tried to turn up the happy meter since the FCC thing happened.
Yeah, but not really. Nobody's buying it.
But underneath, we're just terribly bitter and mean. I think you know that.
Disenfranchised, bitter, mean.
So let me say, how come the ratings are not better in Las Vegas, Austin, Tampa Bay, and Dallas?
It's because if people were giving us great ratings there, they'd be doing something nice for us.
Yeah, they'd rather be mean.
They don't want to do nice things for anybody. What is Nina Menasha, or what is it, Nina Appleton?
Appleton, Wisconsin is the number one happiest city.
Are there
in
any
America.
Other of note, any other happy cities
of
note?
Together, hold on. Yes, there is a happy city. Hold on. New Orleans is a happy city.
Well, there you go.
New Orleans is the number two happiest city in America.
Well, a lot of people, it's the city to care for God.
And then, like all of these lists where there's duplication, San Francisco, New York, Los Angeles, and Atlanta also made the happiest city list.
Well, so what's the point of that?
That's a lie.
Here is Cisco. Cisco.
Yes, Don and Mike.
Hey, what's happening, kid?
Hey,
You were a friend of mine.
I'm a friend of yours.
Cisco Kid was a friend of mine.
Hey, can I just let you know that the worst town in America that you broadcast in is Rochester, New York?
Oh, now wait a minute. It's big people in upstate New York.
Are you calling from Rochester?
I am calling from Rochester, and I've lived here my whole life.
Why so angry, sir?
Well, you got to figure, no professional sports teams. We're the armpit of Buffalo, and we're the only place with worse weather than Buffalo.
All right.
Well, nobody's going to prepare to make an argument here.
Valid argument.
Thank you, Cisco. I enjoy your systems.
Hello. Keith. Keith. Keith in Las Vegas. Why is Las Vegas mean?
I think it's something in the water.
Wow, the Vegas calls are pouring in now.
Thank you. Here's,
Joe. What does that even mean?
Joe in Buffalo. Joe.
How you doing?
Hey, we're doing great. Thanks, Joe.
I just want to say, Buffalo, I think we're kind of a happy city because, you know, when everybody's down on money and everything, you go out and drink. And what makes you happier than drinking, you know?
Well, it depends on how much you drink.
And what you drink.
Well, you were happy yesterday, Mike.
I was.
And
I've been in both moods.
Here's Greg. Greg, Don and Mike show.
Hey, what's going on, Don and Mike?
Hi there.
Guys, disagree with you on Baltimore then, man.
Baltimore is probably the worst city in the United States.
Now, are you a Baltimore resident?
I live right outside of Baltimore.
We're rating it on nice and mean, not whether it's a good city or a bad city.
And Baltimore did not make either list.
Yeah, we just threw that in.
Well, it's definitely a mean city.
All right, well, I'm sorry they're treating you bad. Try to buck up, you sissy.
I was going to say, it's tough to argue with the callers that are saying that it's a mean city when they're calling from that city.
And good luck on the rebuilding.
And a lot of times, those are just people who just can't, they can't make it.
Can't fit in anywhere.
Hey, listen, I'm sorry, dude, you can't make it in Rochester. I'm sorry, you can't make it in Baltimore.
It'd be very tough credibility-wise to get a call from somebody who says, hey, Buffalo's mean. Where are you calling from? Modesto.
Carl. Carl, are you...
Hey, what's up, Don and Mike?
Are you in Vegas?
I'm a lifer in Vegas. Born and raised, been here forever.
Yes, and?
I tell you who we really hate in Vegas is guys like that Jed moron that moved here. I hate people coming to this town.
Well, okay.
I got a bumper sticker on my truck that says, "Welcome to Vegas, now go home."
That is a mean town.
I can't imagine that's a mean city.
Huh. Hello, here's Mark in Buffalo. Mark.
Yeah, this is Mark in Buffalo.
Hi, Mark. What's happening? Got that.
We can drink till 4 in the morning every day here.
Buffalo equals happy.
That's right.
Here's another call about Las Vegas, but it's from a guy in Portland.
Huh. Portland, Maine or Oregon?
I don't know. Tom, which Portland?
Portland, Oregon.
All right.
Yes. Vegas is an awful town. You know, every Thursday about 8 o'clock, they find dead bodies.
Every Thursday at 8 o'clock.
He's trying to make CSI a CSI joke.
Yeah. All right.
You know, George Eads does seem nice.
he was a great Evel Knievel.
That made you laugh. Knievel. Here's Chris in Tampa Bay, the 11th meanest city in America. Chris.
Tampa's not all that mean, but I think one of the reasons you don't get better ratings is they need more aluminum foil on their radio antenna.
Don't worry, you're just mean. That's okay.
That's cool.
Here's Troy, also from Tampa Bay. Troy.
Hey, Don and Mike, how's it going, guys?
Do you think Tampa's mean?
We are mean. I have perfect explanation why.
Good.
The station that used to carry you guys dropped you, and you were gone for like 3 years, and you just came back. So we haven't got a chance to get happy yet.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, now you just kiss it off.
It's Troy McClure.
Thank you. Though. Oh, hold on. Here's Brian in Green Bay about Appleton. Brian.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Yeah, hey.
Hey, Don and Mike. Hey, the reason Appleton's so happy is there's a little town by there called Hortonville. I kid you not. So
Hortonville.
Have a fun day. Good day.
Hortonville. Are we doing the Dr. Seuss thing?
No, we're doing the Horville thing.
Whore hears a who.
Horton hears a who.
Whoa, as Joey Pants was saying an hour ago. Whoa, hears a who.
Hortonville.
Now I'm getting it.
One more call. Don and Mike, hello.
Horton hires a hoe.
Yes. Hi.
Don.
Yes.
Don.
What?
That last caller from Baltimore sounded like nothing worked there. The medication wasn't working. Maybe that's why the guy was so angry.
Okay.
You know what? We're getting a lot of mean people.
Yes, we are.
Isn't it great?
I'm surprised that this show would draw that.
Said Rob.
I'm surprised our ratings aren't better in these.
Come to me, my children.
I had a guy a drunk guy, hit him with a crowbar.
One more. Last call on this topic, and it's Buffalo. Joe. Hey, Joe.
Hey, guys. How are you?
We're doing great.
I can give you a perspective on three cities, Buffalo, Rochester, and Las Vegas.
Okay.
I lived in Buffalo, and Buffalo's motto was that they're the city of good neighbors. So I do have to say, and at one point, Buffalo had the most liquor licenses per capita in the United States.
That seems to be a big one for the Nickel City.
And they're open. The bars serve from 8 in the morning till 4 in the morning.
That's on the sign as you're driving to town. Buffalo's great.
4 o'clock in the morning. That's amazing.
All right, well,
very late.
All right, so we know why Buffalo is great, and we have gone on record that we think Buffalo is a nice, happy
place.
It.
Yes.
Vegas is good. I mean, I've never had anybody unhappy to take my money, so.
But what about Rochester? You're close to Rochester.
Rochester's lightening up a little. When I first moved here, there's a lot of, white collar money, a lot of transient people, and they always thought they were better than Buffalo, but now the economy's kind of getting equal with Buffalo.
You know what's funny?
They're close to reality.
What if, What if you live in Rochester and like your goal is to be better than someone in Buffalo?
Yeah.
I mean, no offense, Buffalo.
That's true. That's like someone in Vienna saying we're better than Oakton.
Sucks. Would really suck.
Yeah, had to get Vienna in there, didn't
you? Know, that's a mean city.
There you go.
Suck to be Rochester if your goal was to be as good city. As Buffalo.
Wow.
A mean brown city.
Man, well, you know, I mean, 4 o'clock, the bars close, you know, 18 feet of snow.
That's true. You've got 4 hours to kill before you can get a drink poured.
What time do the bars close in Rochester? I'd be very, very curious.
7 p.m.
Well, there you go.
Well, here's a guy from Rochester. Bill.
Yeah, Don, you once hit us right on the head. You said we are a town of indifference.
Now, what is what time do the bars close in Rochester?
At 2 a.m.
2 a.m.? See? No wonder they're mean.
It's only 2 hours,
yeah,
though.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's a world.
Here's Stoney and Louisiana. Louisiana didn't even make this list. Stoney.
Don.
Yeah.
Have you ever been down to Louisiana?
Mike and I have. We went to
New Orleans many times.
And we went to Lafayette to do the show. We've been to New Orleans.
And New Orleans was on the list as one of the happiest cities.
Yeah, we landed in Red Stick.
How long ago was this?
Well, this is a 2004, so this is like for the first 6 months of the year.
Oh, man. I need to know when y'all coming down. I'd like to meet you guys.
Do you play that thing, like the washboard on your stomach?
No, no washboard, Mike. No washboard.
Okay, I was just curious. That's my favorite instrument down in New Orleans.
Ron in Las Vegas. Hold on.
Zydeco.
Ron, a lot of people from Vegas are calling.
He does lead a funeral procession with an umbrella, though.
These calls, I'm looking at the screen now, they're being fueled by either Las Vegas or Buffalo right now.
Fascinating.
Ron in Las Vegas. Ron.
I'm on a bender like 3 weeks ago. We never stopped drinking in Vegas. That's why we're always so mean.
Thank you. And one more. Here's Pete in Buffalo. Pete.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
We're doing fine, Pete.
Hey, Buffalo is great because we can drink and we can dance. Get into the groove, boy. You got to prove.
Okay.
And they can dance.
Get out of here. Get out of here. Thank you, everybody. Thank you. That's the Mina City list.
And we can drink and we can dance.
Nancy O'Dell. And, we got the Friday favorite that we now have moved to Thursday.
So it's the Thursday favorite
the
now.
The Thursday favorite coming right up.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Why don't we let Jeff Greenfield have a go at it first?
No, let me have a go at it.
Go ahead, David.
I wish to say that we all look forward with great pleasure to 4 years of wonderful, inspiring speeches, full of wit, poetry, music, love, and affection. This one's more goddamn nonsense. The other is that...
You can't say that on the air, Mr. Green.
Well, I'm not on the air. I was amused to read that Ross...
David, just let me just go in and check. We are on the air.
The Don and Mike Show. Buddha Mouse loves the Don and Mike Show.
Yeah. Let me just say this before I forget. It's better in bed. That's right. So enjoy not watching Private Ryan tonight on TV. Who's the uptight FCC? Well, I know that'll be coming up later in the news and comments.
Right.
Yeah. With Buzz. The crazy FCC and the shaving Ryan's privates. Oh, listen, it used to be a Friday favorite. Now it's a Thursday favorite. And making...
It's game time now on Cash for you.
His last appearance with us.
Really?
At least until he dies... Because that's the only time we have them back. Once they are still used to us.
Tom Brokaw. Hi, Don. Tom Brokaw, NBC Nightly News.
There he is, everybody.
Coming by.
Lame duck.
Lame duck, yes. One last time.
Tom Brokaw, lame duck.
One last hurrah. Right after covering the elections we had, a presidential campaign that was so very, very contentious. Right up to the end. And now a great one for me on my last one, Tom Brokaw. And really, the way I look at it is it's time to move on.
The greatest
time to move on. Yes, a salute on Veterans Day. Can I say from Tom Brokaw to all the veterans, a very big salute to the greatest generation. We have to salute.
It's Veterans Day.
It is Veterans
Day. None of these could ever fan the flames of hatred faster than the hyphen.
Oh, I know that song. That's John Wayne, the hyphen.
Right.
That's fabulous.
The Russian hammer built a wall that locks men's hearts.
Yeah, he talks about the swastika, too.
Crooked cross blew overhead above 20 million tragic dead.
Regretfully.
Veterans Day.
Regretfully, he has passed.
John Wayne.
But Tom Brokaw, NBC Nightly News, fresh off working on this story for Nightly News tonight.
Okay.
The conflict in Philly.
Oh, there. You're never going to be able to. Fallujah. Okay.
What annoys me is the woman who's replacing me is very skillful at pronouncing all of the Iraqis.
Brian Williams?
Yes, the woman. No, there's no love lost. Tom Brokaw, not a ringing endorsement of Brian Williams as my replacement on Nightly News.
And why is that, Tom?
I believe that he's a woman. And I don't like the way he treats me or his staff, or my staff for that matter. And it will not be a transition that I'm going to get on board with. I'm going to walk out that door and never look back. But as far as Brian Williams, or Mrs. Williams, as I like to call the eyebrow-tweaking sucker, I'd like to just say, you won't get my vote. I believe he's been lobbying to push me out for over a decade.
Now,
Over a decade. Over a decade.
What about Russert and your other so-called buddies at NBC? Have any of them come to you to say...
I can comment on anybody at NBC you'd like me to. I have strong thoughts, strong opinions, and the strong opinions are going to be revealed to you now with reckless abandon as I share with you my innermost thoughts of everybody at the NBC News operation, including Mrs. Brian Williams. Mrs. Brian, stand over me, stand so close to me, I don't know whether he's in my shoes or not. So desperate to get his womanly hands on my news topic. And I'd just like to say, Williams, you got your wish. Now perhaps you can have the operation and become whole as a woman. Mrs. Brian Williams can kiss the old Brokaw crease.
Wow.
That's what I'd like to say. The Brokaw crease presents to Mrs. Brian Williams.
Okay.
He's been after my job for over a decade.
As long as you are up for the discussion, let's go through the list.
I'll talk about Fat Katie, Boy, Katie Iron Couric. Legs, Baldy.
Katie Couric.
Iron Legs.
Mm-hmm. Iron Legs.
Yeah, Iron Legs. Yeah, she's the one that's got the big calves. And she's a climber. She's a climber. Feigned respect. But the fact is, the truth is, Katie doesn't really like me. I know this for a fact.
I know that Katie.
I've heard in the hallways at NBC at 30 Rock that Katie has badmouthed me and said it's amazing that they let that, and I quote, tard read news after all these years.
Wow.
And I pulled her aside one day. I asked her if these rumors were true, and she indicated to me they were not. I said, I would certainly not like that. I have pictures of you. I have pictures of all the ladies.
Ooh.
Ann Curry, Katie Couric, Campbell Brown, Soledad O'Brien. I have a collection that would rival
Jody Applegate.
Jody Applegate, incredible.
Ooh.
And I have pictures that would rival Larry Flint's collection.
No.
Let's just suffice to say, the ladies won't be bad-mouthing me, but only one woman will really say bad things, I'm sure, in the hallway.
Who's that?
That, of course, is the lovely Brian Williams. Yeah, Brian Williams, I'll always remember that. I'll tell you, Russert can't keep his sweaty, pasty, doughy palms in his moist pockets. That's his problem.
Huh.
And I said, Fat Boy.
Yeah.
Why don't you drop a pound or two, or why don't you go see Big Russ in the Happy Hunting Ground?
Oh, no.
So, Russert, you know, actually, if he stayed away from the cafe cart, but I said, I busted his chops. Being this is my lame duck year, I would walk up and, you know, grab him, give him a big elbow right in the tummy and go, yo, Timmy boy, where's Big Russ to help you out of this jam?
Oh.
Yeah, he made him cry. Yeah, sure. That's what I do, too. I take his clipboard and I push it at him, you know, or one of his little, this year, his computer doohickey. I just say, why do we need to bring on an Etch-a-Sketch to show people what's happening with the American electorate? Russert. And then I push it at him, and I say, make you cry, make you cry, make you cry. And he would. He's an easy cry.
Huh.
That's how I judge my performance, whether I can get Russert to cry or not. You know, he's not really part of the greatest generation, and neither is Big Russ. That made him bald.
Wow.
So anyway, he can eat 6 pounds of provolone without batting an eye.
What about, now he doesn't work at NBC anymore, but you work there with him, Brian Gumbel.
Brian Gumbel, a great human. My drinking buddy.
Oh.
Secretly, a drinking buddy. Ryan Gumbel misunderstood, as is Tom Brokaw. Everybody thought he was an AH, since we are in the clean environment of the ABC.
Right.
And they say, oh, Gumbel's an AH. I said, no. The AH is down putting his nylons on, and his office door says Brian Williams.
Wow.
My successor. Mike Kreese. That's what I say about Brian Williams right now. And, you know, the thing is about NBC.
Yes.
What you see on TV is not what you really perceive, especially at Nightly News and today, today being the morning show.
Right.
I'll tell you right now, the big one that was the big AH was Willard.
Willard Scott?
Pure AA.
No, Willard is
bad.
He's beloved.
Brokaw should be beloved. And unfortunately, it's gotten muddled up and mucked up. And I just feel bad about the whole thing. But Willard, don't let the exterior, you know, you could, as far as I said to him one day in the hallway, because of course he came up to work his one day a year with his super deluxe puff package that he has with NBC.
The whole Smucker's jam, these people aren't dead yet thing.
I said, Willard, I tapped him on the shoulder. I said, all the Smucker's preserves in the world don't prevent me from saying, you're a hump. And then he cried.
Wow.
He cried as I took his whatever baked good he was selling on that particular day. You're diminishing and watering down Nightly News by doing these silly sketches and silly stunts. I said, banish him to Washington. Have him do the weather on the front lawn. Roker's another one.
What about Roker?
Here's my crease, Al. That's from Brokaw.
David Gregory.
Hey, please. Roker, want to see Brokaw's crease?
Please comment on David Gregory.
David Gregory can't be trusted, and what very, very close with Mrs. Williams. That's the problem I have with David Gregory. I think, frankly, they bathe together.
Who's the crater face? I've seen her around.
Andrea Mitchell. Married to a Fed chairman, Alan Greenspan, and a miracle. I guess if you have a face like that, a skillet full of boils, you can only go for a 90-year-old man to see you wake up with you in the morning. So I said to her, yo, Mitchell, who set the face on fire and tried to put it out with an ice pick? That's what I said. Tom Brokaw, NBC Nightly News. Yes, bitter? They won't be giving me a going-away party.
They won't.
No, Rather's coming over. Rather's coming over before he completely snaps. But I like the old guy. We like to have Dan stop by occasionally and watch him twitch. That's what we enjoy, I'll tell you. But as far as everybody at Nightly News and NBC, no need for a party. No need for Mitchell, Andrea Mitchell, or Brian Williams, or any of them. I said to Andrea Mitchell the other day, hey, your face looks like a bag of snakes.
And they're just taking this from you, right?
They're snatching it from me because of the lobbying effort and the incredible malicious gossip behind my back that was created by one man, B.W.
Okay, now...
And really, I ask you this, Don Geronimo. This is something from Tom Brokaw, from me to you.
Okay.
B.W. Brian also Williams. Initials standing for bad woman. Coincidence? Tom Brokaw doesn't think so. I think there's no coincidence whatsoever.
Do you think that Brian Williams got these wheels turning in motion years ago for your job, or is this a new thing?
I think that Brian Williams was born thinking, I'm targeting Brokaw. I think since he came out of whatever donkey's womb he came out of, that BW, which incidentally stands for Big Wanker.
Oh.
And I will tell you right now that he's gunned for me, and I can't wait to take my...
What can't you wait for,
Tom?
I can't wait.
What can't you wait for, Tom?
I can't wait to take my sweet crease back to my ranch in Yankton. Brokaw's crease is going back to Yankton, South Dakota, where I'm going to sit in a hot tub of pudding with Tom Daschle. I'll say hallelujah. Yes, the former minority leader's crease and Brokaw's crease will be in the same tub out on the big wide open plain. Big sky, Mr. Daschle, and Williams, kiss the crease.
Wow.
That's what I do say.
Tom Brokaw.
Tom Brokaw, NBC Nightly News.
Tom is, of course, the lame duck, and as you can tell, he's really dealing with this very well.
I'm not dealing with it well.
He's
I'm angry.
Facetious.
And Matt Lauer, what is that thing you have on your head that you call a hair? How many times can he play with a hairstyle, Matthew? Shave it or comb it over. Either or, it's not making any sense.
You don't even like Matt Lauer?
Don't care for him at all. He can see the crease, too. Quack, quack.
I'm going to play Lopez of Jeopardy now, and I think we need...
Looking forward to Lopez of Jeopardy. Many a great year playing that game with you. Yeah. I will regretfully not be back, but I will think of it fondly.
877-365-3636 from Canada. It's 800-636-1067. We'll take two callers now to play this game today.
I'm L.D. Brokaw.
You what?
I'm L.D. Brokaw.
L.D.
Lame duck.
Oh, lame duck.
Quack, quack.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
We're dealing with here is a complete lack of respect for the law.
The Don and Mike Show.
It's the favorite radio program of Charlie M. The Don and Mike Show.
Charlie M.
Alberto Gonzalez. Alberto Gonzalez. I'm sorry, you called me practicing. I'm practicing the pronunciation of the new attorney general.
Oh, the guy, what's his name? It's
Alberto Gonzalez.
Gonzalez.
I don't care for vowels.
Let's try Fallujah. Tom, remember how we've done it before. Let's break it down.
You help me more than most.
Fa. Fa.
Hold on. Pa.
Okay, now the L's are a problem. Lou.
How about if I just say Uja?
No. Lou. Try it.
Lou.
Ja.
Ja.
Okay. Fa.
Fa.
Lou.
Lou.
Hey, that was excellent.
Yeah.
Ja.
NBC Nightly News.
Ja.
Fudge. Iraq.
Fallujah.
Rudy Toot. Damn it. Now you've confused me. I was practicing the AG. Attorney General Fallujah. Now you've got me all spinning. I'm bed spinning.
Let's play Low Budget Jeopardy.
That was last night. And now, this is Low Budget Jeopardy. Now entering the studio is our first challenger, a gentleman from Charlestown, West Virginia, a public affairs officer, and a veteran on this Veterans Day.
Is he really?
Let's please welcome Scott Brunell.
Hey, Scott.
Good evening, LQ. Good evening, Mr. Brokaw.
Are you really a vet?
Yes, I am.
Well, then we do give you a chime for that, and also you get a little of this action.
It's Veterans Day.
Thank you
very much.
He may be a veteran, but he's not the returning champion who's coming in now. A product support manager from Stafford, Virginia. Let's say hi to the lovely Steve Carrier.
Hi, Steve.
Happy V-Day, guys.
Steve, being our returning Low Budget Jeopardy champion, can you tell us how it's changed your life?
Well, I'd like to thank all my fans for the cards and letters.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks so much. And now entering the studios, the host of Low Budget Jeopardy, I tell you, Steve and Scott, even a veteran, don't screw with LQ.
LQ.
And welcome Alex Trebek Geronimo.
Thank you, Tom.
Oh, thank you, Doc.
It's Veterans Day.
I'm getting older by the moment.
And here are your categories, guys.
All righty. Not as old as Schaefer, though. Schaefer the dinosaur.
He doesn't even work at NBC.
I know. Paint him purple. He's Barney.
Oh, my God.
Just kidding.
Here's your category.
Right on, Don.
What about Lester Holt? You never mentioned Lester Holt.
Lester Holt can't hear the dinner bell. Walk up and with two bricks behind his head, clap them together. Lester won't stir. Lester. Yeah, we used to do that all the time. Lester. Esther. Big fun at NBC Nightly News.
Here are your categories.
Omo Esther.
Big fake ones.
Big fake ones. Mine are.
Who's starting at quarterback?
Oh, football. It's the gridiron. I'm a big fan of the college game out in the Dakotas.
What night is that show on?
What night is what show on?
Well, you'll find out when they answer the question.
Just kidding. I'm a veteran.
Most popular last names in the United States.
Fascinating.
And animals are fun.
Animals are fun, and so is A low budget Jeopardy.
Here are your categories again.
Fire away. I'm waiting.
Big fake ones.
Check.
Who's starting at quarterback?
Right on.
What night is that show on? How all most popular last names.
Here.
Animals are fun.
Losing feeling in tongue.
Scott, we will start with you.
Go ahead and good luck, boys.
Thank you, LQ. Thank you, Mr. Brokaw. Let's start with starting at quarterback for one.
All right. This weekend in the NFL, he starts for your Seattle Seahawks.
Who is Matt Hasselbeck?
Right. Correct.
$1 on the board and running. Chalk one up for all the veterans. Scott, select again.
I just cut him, incidentally. Anybody in the Jerry Todd League, in our league here, you want him? You can have him.
Oh, J-Dubs.
Guy's retarded. Matt Hasselbeck. Trust me. You don't want to start this guy.
Jump on that.
Starting a QB for two.
He will start this weekend for your Oakland Raiders.
Who is Richard?
Oh, blah, rubble. Steve, your chance to steal.
Who is Rich Gannon?
No.
Negative. He's out with a broken back. It's Kerry Collins.
And Scott Burnell, you are still in the lead.
Let's close out starting at QB for three.
Starting this weekend for your New York Jets.
Who is Chad Pennington?
Steve, your chance to steal.
That's Pennington's backup. I can't remember his name.
It's Quincy Carter.
And Scott, time to move on to another
category.
Blue the ball rubble.
Animals are fun for one.
Blood would it be.
This is the most popular pet in America. We have over 40 million of these.
What is a cat?
Negative.
No. Steve, your chance to steal.
What is a dog?
Yes.
$1 for Steve. We have a tie game, and you're off and rolling, returning champion Steve Carrier.
Animals are fun for two.
This is the most popular pet in China. Chinese people have over 71 million of these.
What is a cat?
No.
Scott, your chance to steal.
What is a dog?
No.
No, I'm shocked. Which is it?
It's a bird.
Birds are popular.
In China, yes.
Well, gollagaloozubble. All right, Steve, you're
in
control.
I just want to point out, I'm not understanding a lot of these words you're saying.
What I do are tongue exercises, Don, that prepare me for nightly news and the variety of copy situations that I'll get in reading the news. So little tongue twisters like galoozable.
What are you trying to say?
I'm not trying to say any word. I'm trying to exercise what has traditionally been a lazy tongue. Flip-flop fetal. Steve, you're in control.
Animals for three.
This animal is used for the most experiments in the United States.
What are rats?
Negative.
Scott, your chance to steal.
What are mice?
Nope, it's sweet rabbits.
Bunnies. Not human beings.
Bunnies. No, not human beings.
What a catastrophe that would be, and what a scoop we would have at Nightly News if medical experiments were performed on humans on Mars.
The category was animals, though.
And Steve, you're still in control. Am I confusing you?
What night is that show on for one?
Lick flop theedle.
What night is that show on? Oh, here we go. What night is this on? CSI Miami.
What night is Monday.
Scott, your chance to steal.
That was just a buzzer, got you.
What night is Wednesday?
No, he had it right. It's Monday night. Tom?
I'm not doing another one.
Why?
Not wanting to.
Why?
Thermo Kermit Bash Cradle. Who's in control?
That would be Steve.
Steve, you're in control. Select again, please.
What night is that show on for two?
Law and Order, SVU. Don't rip up our jokes. Law and Order, SVU.
What night is Tuesday?
Correct. There you go.
What's the dollar value?
$2
for Steve. You're off and running. Finally, somebody picks up some money in a low-budget Jeopardy. All right, select again, Steve.
What is that show for three?
CSI New York.
What night is Thursday?
No.
Oh, Scott, your chance to steal and a chance to move ahead here.
What night is Tuesday?
No.
Of CSI in New York? Last night, Wednesday night.
Oh, that's a shame. Steve, you're in control.
Big old fake ones for one.
Big fake ones.
Baby.
Does Brian Williams have big fake ones?
More on that later.
She was exposed at P. Diddy's party.
Who is Tara Reid?
Tara Reid, yes.
$1 as Steve starts to slowly mount his lead.
Big fake ones for two.
Big fake ones. Formerly married to Tommy Lee. They might be real again. They might be out. Who knows?
Who is Pamela Lee Anderson Lee?
Right, Pam Anderson, correct.
$2, big lead for Steve as he's picking up steam.
Big take ones for three.
She's our much appreciated producer.
Who is D.A., Beth Ann?
$3 for you, Steve.
Theoretical.
I'm kidding, of course.
Kidding, of course.
Sure, they're real.
Flip-flop Theodle. All right, Steve, you're in control.
Popular last names for one.
This is according to the U.S. Census. This one, used in hotels and motels, is still the number one most popular last name in the United States.
What is Smith?
Yeah, oh yeah, I'm sorry, that was a, I didn't mean to do that. It's right next to that. Smith it is, number
$1 for you, Steve. Select again, please.
Popular last names for two.
It's the number two most popular last name, also a nickname for the male anatomy.
What is Johnson?
Here you go.
$2 for you, Steve. Ladle, loophole, crinkle cross. Steve, select again, please.
Popular last name for three.
All right, last question on the big board. It's the number three most popular last name in the United States, and it's the first color to be listed as a name.
What is green?
Negative.
Scott, here's an opportunity for a last-second kick to maybe make you more competitive.
What is red?
My name is Johnny Red.
Nice
Johnny
swing Red at the softball.
My name is Billy Red. No, it's Brown. What can Brown do for you?
Is that the end of the first round of Low Budget Jeopardy?
Thank God it is, yeah.
Yes, there we are. Way to go, fellas. You're both going to the final round.
The finals. Now, Tom, who's got what here?
Steve Carey, the returning champion, has a total of $12, while Scott Burnell, our returning veteran, has $1. Button Humper Peacock Plum. Glass Gobbler.
Here's your category, guys, for final Low Budget Jeff R.D. Who wants candy?
I do. I'd like a sugar daddy.
Rhetorical.
B.A. McBride, get me a sugar daddy.
This last Halloween, the one that was just 3 weeks ago, this was America's number one best-selling candy. All right, guys, how easy can we make this for you? Halloween, this was the number one best-selling candy. Don't forget, answer in the form of a question, and good luck.
All contestants on Low Budget Jeopardy will receive from Tom Brokaw a Brian Williams prize pack. Chock-a-block full of all the things that the new anchor of NBC Nightly News really loves. Your basket will include acne cream, suppositories, a Sam Harris CD, Beano, a How to Pick Up Guys book, and an extra large prescription for herpes pills, all in a womanly purse that smells. Now back to final Low Budget Jeopardy with Alex Trebek.
You're bitter, man.
Not a bit.
You are totally bitter about this. It's okay.
I'd like to take a stab at your final one. Would it happen to be delicious penny candy from Yankton, South Dakota? Where I will be buried.
From the mercantile?
Yeah, buried right out in back of the mercantile.
No.
Rock candy.
Who we want to talk to first?
Scott, our returning veteran.
Ah, Scott, let's see. Scott, this year, this was America's number one best-selling Halloween candy.
I'm hoping I'm remembering correctly what the famous Rob Spiewak said. Three Musketeers?
That was not in the form of a question. And I don't think Rob ever said that. I think that might have been Rob's favorite. I gave those away.
I believe it was your favorite. Was you're the Three Musketeers.
Yeah, Steve, if you have the right answer, you're the winner. This is America's number one best-selling candy this Halloween.
What is candy corn?
No, absolutely not. No,
I'm
wrong.
Sorry, neither of you win.
Wrong and wrong. Would you guys like to guess?
Reese's Peanut Butter Cups?
Reese's number three.
I will say Kit Kat.
Kit Kat number five. Snickers number four. Number two, Hershey's Bar.
Hershey's Bar,
number one Halloween candy, M&M's.
Yeah.
M&M's number one.
Hey, you almost said M&M's.
M&M's.
You almost... Who's the singer who sings that song, Lose Yourself in the Music, the Moment?
I know. Jay-Z.
No. It's M&M.
Well, Jay-Z's the one I like.
Because M&M sounds like M&M.
Tom Brokaw, NBC Nightly News. How about that Jay-Z?
You only like him because you can pronounce his name.
Jay-Z.
Tom.
Yeah, Tom.
It's the type of game that Todd Hughes will love. Mr. Rooney, because we're not giving away any money today.
I also enjoy Bismarcky. All right, boys. Neither one of you have any cash.
So, don't go in that. Just go away. Here's Tom Brokaw to tell you what you want. Tommy.
Both have you have won a Simpsons prize pack from me, Tom Brokaw, NBC Nightly News, with a Simpsons electronic dartboard, clock, and more. Watch the premiere of The Simpsons Sunday night at 8 on WTVG Fox 5. Tom Brokaw saying thank you to Scott Purnell and Steve Carrier. Thank you for playing the game, boys.
Well, I guess the premiere of The Simpsons was last week.
Right. But was it really? Watch the premiere next week, last week. Is Burkle Doodle.
Scott, Steve, thank you, fellas.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you very much.
All right, dudes. And Tom, what can we say? But we'll miss you tripping over words. One time, could we say, when it says Libby's, Libby's, Libby's on the label, you will like it on your table.
I won't do that, but I will say Richie Rockpile Scuttlebutt Ice Block Night. That's a tongue twister.
Sure is.
The exercise compiled by a staff assistant at Nightly News to help the lazy tongue strengthen. Liz Blurkle. Liz Blurkle thumbnail. Blitz Burkle thumbnail. How am I doing? Oh, thank you.
Perfect.
And hi to Nancy O'Dell.
Oh,
yeah. I'd like to get her out to Yankton. Just for a small afternoon. Perhaps we could hunt pheasants.
Tom?
I've been there twice,
Tom. Yeah. Oh, you've been there twice?
Oh, sure.
Really? You've been to downtown Nancy O'Dell a couple
absolutely.
Of times?
Absolutely. I've been with the Dell computer.
How's the parking there?
Pretty good. Yeah. Absolutely. If you've got a small vehicle. It's a compliment, Jesus Christ.
In a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden, one man found a way to bring good news to his people.
There it's Buzz.
He made it
there
up.
There he is. It's Buzz. It's Veterans
it's
Day.
It's Veterans Day.
Always handled her like all the girls at NBC with the premier rule from Tom Brokaw.
What was that?
A light supper before they get to see the crease. That's the way it works.
Buzz, what is your lead story on the news and comments today?
Today, there's no vaccine for this. Americans catch the Halo 2 flu.
Halo 2.
That's it.
I best get to the newsroom and prepare Nightly News.
Yes.
This could be a catastrophic crisis in the healthcare.
Stay tuned for news and comments coming up on the Don and Mike Show.
It's a video game.
It'll be perfect. A catastrophic crisis in healthcare.
It's a game.
The Halo 2 flu. What part of China does it hail from?
It's a video game, Tom.
You mean the one your son likes?
From Asia. But
yes.
Oh, gotcha, Don. It's a consumer story.
Yes.
Best get it out to the junior reporters.
You were on 8 minutes ago.
That's right. Oh, check my crease.
Tom, always remember, never forget. Low Budget Jeopardy is a production of Coron Incorporated.
And is distributed by King World. Make sure you watch William's first debut as he falls flat on his womanly face. Ciao.
There he goes.
Still here.
Gonna miss
I
now.
Keep telling you, we got to lose that door, man.
The door's frustrating me now. Yes, Brian Williams, wait till you see him. He's going to get the flop sweat.
That was very
professional.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
They occasionally breathe the rarefied air of buzzdom. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Speaking of, it's time for news and comments now with Buzz. Buzz brought to us by Smoke Break.
This is good smoke.
Smokers break the nasty habit without gaining weight. Smoke Break, available now at fine retailers. Revolutionary tablet for smokers it is. That's Ringo. You know. Say what you will. Most talented beetle, hands down.
Right.
Here now is Buzz.
Hi, Don.
You'll get no argument from me.
Hi, Ringo.
You know, the thing is, Ringo had like four or five tunes. Yeah.
Yes, all I want is a photograph.
After the Beatles, that were okay. He had like four, maybe five, and I like the No-No song.
Isn't it funny how most of those were produced by other Beatles?
Yeah. Were they really? Well, that's where you know too much, Rob. Yeah.
They helped him out.
You could buy a little help from your friends.
See what he did there?
Yeah. Very clever, boys.
I've got to get you into my life, Buzz. That's your song.
Well, here I am. U.S. productivity had to be down this week, judging from the sales for the new video game Halo 2. Because there were so many unanswered questions in the first Halo game, people lined up outside retailers Tuesday to be the first on their block. As one customer put it to MTV News, Bill Gates is a little richer tonight.
This is bigger than the Madden thing, and I thought the Madden thing was big.
It is.
I know that my kid went through a crisis when he came back here a couple of weeks ago for his fall break, a 4-day break from school.
Right.
He was pissed. He said, Dad, I can't go to any store. I can't even sign up for the waiting list to get it at midnight. It's not until he went back to backwards South Carolina where he found some mom-and-pop video store.
And they had it?
Yeah, where he was lucky enough to be able to give them $50 so that they would hold the game so he could get in line at midnight on Monday night.
That's fair.
Pay the additional whatever it is, $20.
Wow.
But, Mike, that's the way I felt about Madden.
Right? Yeah. Yeah, I mean, people are going nuts. I mean, I've just heard of it. The first time I heard of it is when you mentioned it to your son last week.
The Microsoft Xbox game pre-sold over 1.5 million copies and took in $100 million in a little over a day.
How come we did not hear about this game the first time around?
Oh, because it was one of those... I mean,
the mania built after that, I think.
It sold a lot of copies, I believe, past its original release. It was one of those things... And isn't it predominantly an Xbox game?
Yes,
you can play it online.
That's what your son said to me the other day. It's an Xbox
game. Funny you should mention that. A random check showed nearly 110,000 people playing it online at a given moment when that check was made. And that includes guys in their 30s and 40s. It's very popular.
Always supposed to be better than Grand Theft Auto 3.
And apparently it has had an effect on U.S. productivity in the workplace in the last couple of days.
Mm-hmm.
Always look on the bright side
of
life.
And Buzz, just to follow up on that, I always thought the Madden thing was a goof. Because, like, if you went to EASports.com when the Madden was coming out, when I was counting down to that, they had, like, this... And, of course, it's for dumb 46-year-old guys like me.
Guys who like football.
Where they've got a thing on that webpage where you could print out a fake certificate to give to your boss on Tuesday to say you're staying at home because it's Madden Day. But I don't think anybody really stayed at home because of John Madden's game. But you're
people
right that lots of people... I mean...
Imagine bringing that into a boss.
I stayed home again with Madden Day. Of course you wouldn't, but I think with Halo, people are actually doing it.
There is a mania, indeed. Always look on the bright side of life. Believe it or not, that seems to be the philosophy of most Americans. A new Harris poll has the average American ranking their happiness level at 74%.
Well, I thought you'd never read a poll again, Buzz.
Oh, no, that's not true. Yeah, I'll be careful about Zogby polls, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's for sure.
This is a Colette Harris poll, so you can trust this.
This is the new Harris poll, and it's the highest feel-good...
I thought it was an Ed Harris poll.
Oh, that must be.
It's the highest feel-good index since the 75% that we felt in 1998.
A Richard Harris poll.
If it was in
98% of the people left the cake out in the rain.
Yeah. If it was in Florida, it would be a Catherine Harris poll.
Or it could be a Paul Harris poll.
Okay, now you lose, because no one knows who that disc jockey is. I do, but I don't count.
Actually, an Emmy Lou Harris poll.
Oh!
Yeah. And we haven't lost touch with reality, though. The survey shows that we have not lost all perspective.
Emmy Lou!
98% of us are happy with our families.
I gotta go to the Lou.
98% happy with our families. Only 43% of us happy with the economy. 85% of us feel good about our standard of living, but only 55% of us feel we can say that about the rest of the country. We're quirky that way. Only 55% of us think the country has good morals, but 77% of us think our neighbors' morals are fine. 95% of us enjoy our homes, even if only 2/3 of us enjoy being married. The election process hasn't involved so many young people, so many young Democrats.
I'd like to go back and go over that last
there's no need to dwell.
No, I think that's important. We discuss the news of the day.
That's
why we're here.
News and comments.
Take pause.
So let me get this again.
All right.
Generally speaking, Americans are happy.
Yes, they are.
We're happy with the economy.
We love our homes.
We think our neighbors are okay.
Yeah, we're happy with our family. We love our families.
And what was the thing with marriage again?
Oh, just 66% of us say we really enjoy being married.
Really?
You had another one in there, though, didn't you?
What was the last
one? I said 95% of us enjoy our homes, even if only 2/3 of us enjoy being married. Is that the one you were talking about?
Right. I guess so.
Yeah.
I guess
And two-thirds, yeah, that's an interesting statistic. So there's one-third out there?
That doesn't, out of every three marriages.
I'd like to know those people.
Are these people?
Well, Mike, you're not married now, though.
Exactly.
No, but I mean, aren't these people who are currently, these are people who are currently married
they're
in the survey.
They love their families, saying, love their homes.
66% say we love it, but then there's 24% that say we don't love it.
33%, a third, one out of every three.
Yeah, right.
So for every three couples, there's one spouse who's not happy, at least.
Now that's weird, because in this room,
there are three couples right now in this room. So
right.
Who would be the unhappy ones? It certainly would not be myself and my child bride.
No.
Buzz, you're happy with
couldn't be happier.
You know, Carrie could make up 16% of it.
There we go.
Winner!
I'm undecided.
Way to take one for the team, Rob.
You had to ferret that out. The election process hasn't involved so many young Democrats in decades, but fortunately, like their voting parents, these politically active young people are moving on with their lives.
Democrats.
Except in the suburbs of Minneapolis, where three high school students are facing criminal charges for beating a boy who taunted them about their man, Kerry, losing the election. Quoting the district attorney, it's a good thing to see young people interested and excited about politics. It's very disturbing to see this kind of violence over it. Witnesses say the boys used a bat in the young Republican's face after he called them gay for supporting Kerry. Not that there's anything wrong with one of those things.
I was watching one of the shows this morning. I don't remember which one. Today, Good Morning America, all the same.
Right.
Hidden video in a school, maybe you saw this, where some kids just beat the crap out of some other kid, and then they put it in music to a homemade track that they had, and they were selling the DVD in school.
Wow.
Saying, you know, how would you like to see Rob Spiewak getting beaten up? Not only do we have it on video,
but they put music to it.
We put music to it.
Wow, I didn't see that.
Yeah.
That's
very popular on the net.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Is it really? I didn't even know that.
Not that I frequent those sites. Find it for free. Okay.
Republicans are also moving on. Here's a letter to the editor of the newspaper in Eaton, Pennsylvania, from a citizen named Earl Balboa. Quoting Earl's letter, I hope the election of George W. Bush is seen as a wake-up call to all the liberal Democrats who oppose God's will. It is his doing that George W. Bush is still our president. Millions of born-again Christians helped win this election through our prayers and votes. Jesus speaks through the Republicans. The Democrats will not be able to win elections until they renounce their sinful ways and stop encouraging abortions, gayness, and trying to take away our guns, end quote.
Oh, Jesus.
Even uninformed people have opinions. In Amherst, Massachusetts, a town leader, upset by the Bush victory, tore down a Texas flag. To Patricia Church, putting up a Texas flag to honor the president's reelection was taking it too far. Trouble is, it wasn't a Texas flag she tore down. It was a Puerto Rican flag raised last week in a ceremony in the town square.
They look similar.
To honor Puerto Rican Pride Month.
The flags, people are idiots.
Flags back up now, but Puerto Rican activists are demanding an apology.
Oh, we are so upset. Our cars have not been vibrating the same when we pull up to the stoplight.
It's the wrong flag.
Which brings us to this. The U.S. has its first Latino attorney general. President Bush has named Alberto Gonzalez as America's new top cop. Gonzalez replaces a man he often clashed with, outgoing Attorney General John the Zealot Ashcroft.
Well, that's a good thing, maybe.
About time.
Gonzalez not nearly as conservative as Ashcroft. He has no record of covering Lady Justice's breasts. Gonzalez is, however, the son of a preacher man and fiercely loyal to President Bush. Bush has long called Gonzalez mi abogado, which means my lawyer.
He's mi abogado.
Hello, George Bush. Long time.
You're my friend, you're mi abogado.
I know George Bush. We used to party together back when he ran the Texas Rangers.
So salute him, I will. I'm so very happy for my amigo and my abogado.
My girlfriend's name is Dawn. That's the only word I can think of that rhymes with lawn. Because you made me cut your yard all the time in Crawford. And I realized that my Mexican kind of sounds like Dennis Franz. Hey, look at my ass.
Hey, my abogado.
In Chicago.
As my abogado.
Oh, and about, hold on, turn that off, please. Thank you.
Dennis Franz?
NYPD Blue.
Yeah.
What the frick? I didn't even see what Jimmy Smits is doing on there, but I guess in the one that aired last night, he came back like as a ghost.
As a ghost.
Oh, really?
That's right, yes.
As a ghost.
To guide his friend Andy Sipowicz through with some rough times.
And then I seen him on the West Wing.
Yeah.
That he's on the West Wing, too.
Right.
Yeah, it's ever since he touched my hand.
That's right.
Since what?
That's when he started getting all these gigs again. He's back, and it's because he bumped into me in downtown Washington. And I touched him, and I said, good things will happen to you, Mr. Smits.
Mr. Smith.
And I said, you're my avocado. And he went off onto the street.
Sure. The singer, once known as Cat Stevens, who was unceremoniously escorted out of the country a couple of months ago because he was on a terror alert list, has now won a peace award.
Hey, Cat.
The award was given by former Soviet leader Mikhail Gorbachev, who praised the singer for his charity work and for standing by his convictions despite personal hardships. The singer was given the Man for Peace Prize in Rome at the opening of a meeting of Nobel Peace Prize winners. Now known as Yusuf Islam, the singer says many embarrassed Americans have apologized to him over the September no-fly incident, including employees of our own Homeland Security Department.
We're also giving the same award to Clay Aiken.
Quoting him, more people have apologized than you can count. Palestinian leader Yasser Arafat, who was dead and then not dead and then dead again and then not dead again, is finally dead. Considered a terrorist by most, he fought for a homeland for his people to the extreme aggravation of Israel. In the Gaza Strip, tens of thousands of Palestinians mourn his death, and there are conspiracy theories about the mysterious blood disease that ultimately took his life. Israel, fearing violence, has sealed its borders. President Bush says he hopes for peace.
That guy is a bad dude.
Yasser Arafat.
You want to say that? I don't get all this, that we treat him with reverence and stuff. I don't either. I really don't get it.
Like
that,
I said.
That he's a bad dude. I mean, he did bad stuff.
You know, I'm all for the Palestinians getting a homeland at some point, but if you look at the history of it, he was probably personally responsible for some of the original terrorist activities.
Right. Yeah,
right.
Absolutely.
And then for the longest time, I kept wanting to meet the guy because I thought he was an ELO.
No,
and they get,
they were good.
You know, they would say real fast, Yasser Arafat with PLO. I'm like, oh, my God.
Yeah, you thought he'd come walking in with Jeff Lynne.
Does he know Jeff Lynne?
He had a great stage
show.
Can
you do live-in thing? Can you do strange magic? And then I thought, I saw the thing on his head, right? And I thought, well, maybe that's like some crazy ELO costume.
You embarrassed yourself.
No, it's PLO.
Remember
PLO.
When he had the UFO come down on the stage?
PLO,
it was great. Great laser show.
Plastic Light Orchestra.
CBS finds itself apologizing again for the actions of its news department.
Yeah,
the network says it's interruption.
That's our company, Buzz.
That's right. And they're really sorry about the interruption of last night's episode of CSI New York.
Tell me about it.
They came in with the Yasser Arafat bulletin.
You don't know how the episode ended.
Quoting the network today, an overly aggressive CBS News producer jumped the gun with a report that should have been offered to local stations for their late news.
Correct, correct, correct.
The network says cutting into the last 5 minutes wasn't necessary because Arafat had already been near death for several days. After receiving complaints from viewers and affiliates, CBS has announced they will rerun the CSI New York episode in its entirety tomorrow night.
A bunch of dumbs.
Fantastic. I didn't see an interruption.
Maybe not on the high def.
On the high def, but I know on regular CBS, because I was watching upstairs at cable, and not that I'm into this show, but Frida and I had not an argument, but I wanted to watch Law and Order last night. No, Rob, I don't do that.
I know.
You do. I don't.
That's why we don't argue.
So I said to her, "Let's watch Law and Order."
No, so, I like CSI. Let's watch CSI.
I said, come on, Law and Order, Law and Order. And the more I'm watching Law and Order, the more I'm realizing why I still like that show. Mm-hmm. Even though the one guy's gone, they got the other guy, Dennis Farina.
Right.
Everybody else is still good, and I like CSI, but the CSI New York.
I'm surprised you like Law and Order better than a CSI.
Well, this one's very dark and depressing, isn't it?
Yes, and I hate to sound like a Jay Leno fan, but what I like about all of the other CSIs is no matter who killed who, and it's all the same dumb... It's all Columbo. It's all the same crap as on Columbo and the Cloud.
It's all fake, too.
It's just now...
Which many people don't realize.
It's bright colors and everything. It looks cool. You watch CSI New York, and because they want to impress on you the fact
gritty.
That they're in gritty New York, it's mainly blue, dark blue, and gray colors.
Yeah, this is an old story, but the thing that I saw just the other night was this CSI phenomenon on juries, that not only are...
Mm-hmm.
people wanting to be on juries more, but they're also acquitting defendants because they're saying, well, why couldn't you why couldn't you press the computer and zoom in on his driver's license?
Rob, can you tell me how it ended then?
No, because I got so bored I don't remember.
Wow.
It's
CSI
like,
has to be, for me, has to be riveting or I'm out of there.
Yeah.
No, the plot line was the leg was chopped off because the guy wanted to have his leg. It was an EMT that did the leg chopping.
Okay. All I know is that really it was like 6 minutes until this is a CBS News special bulletin.
The show is the writing on CSI New York. It's like Quincy. It's horrible.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's no, nothing new.
And I'm sitting here thinking, you know, oh my God, you know, a CBS special report. God, is something happened in Iraq? You know, and then, you know, I'm, you know, John Roberts with my puffy hair, and Yasser Arafat is dead. Stay tuned. And I noticed that they chopped off the end of CSI New York, but they conveniently left enough time for nice commercials before they went to the local news.
Yeah, always.
For the diner plot line, Gary Sinise was found guilty.
I wish. Or that Greek chick.
Oh,
you know what? She just is not sexy enough to be on TV.
Canna Granides?
She just doesn't get it. You know,
Maria Canna Granides?
On the original CSI, you got Marg.
Marg Helgenberger.
She's pleasing to look at.
And then there's the Bucktooth one.
Georgia Fox.
Yeah, I like her.
Well, then you got, you know, Proctor. Emily Proctor from CSI Miami.
And George Eads.
Well, that's just you.
George Eads.
Also on CSI Miami, please not to be forgetting about the autopsy lady.
Andy Alexander.
The sister.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who absolutely wears, like, she has to buy wife beaters that are made, like, for three-year-old boys.
Because those are onesies for toddlers.
Every crime scene she shows up at, she conveniently gets to lean over the baby's, the person's body, and then she always goes, oh, baby, what happened to you, baby? And all I'm doing is staring at her cleavage.
Yeah, she was on news radio.
I could never go out with her, though. She touches the dead.
And that's what they're missing from CSI New York. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they need a really hot woman.
I agree.
When we come back, my salute to Veterans Day, including a private named Ryan being the latest casualty of the indecency witch hunt.
Oh, and could I ask you guys both, now that we are 24 hours past nearly yesterday's show, you put in a great effort, but you are tired.
Thank you.
You are tired.
To say that I am wide awake would be an overstatement.
You know, there are times when I've said you've had raccoon eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Today, you look like you were in a fight with Muhammad Ali. You know what I mean? You got the real black circles under the eyes.
Thank you.
But you've been great on the show.
Thank you. Thank you twice.
Delightful.
No, I know I got the raccoon eyes. I want to have something done to get the circles, the dark circles out of my eyes.
It's called sleep.
Oh, please.
And for God's sakes.
Let's not get crazy.
What are you going to do after they finally get rid of Howard or whatever he's going to do and they move us to mornings?
Allegedly.
Do you realize that right now, the hours that you're sleeping, 4 a.m. to 11 a.m., those are the hours that we'd have to work.
Oh, my God.
You have to turn your schedule just up. Reverse it by 12 hours and you'll be fine.
Well, frankly, boys, I'm looking at it as a life-saving measure. Frankly, that's what it is.
It could be.
I think it really could be.
It's an intervention.
Of course, all of that is just a legend.
We're just funning.
Just rumors.
You never know.
Buzz?
Private Ryan, when we get back.
Oh, right. That's screwed up. Thank you, Buzz.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show. They paint the whatnot.
Yeah.
Don and Mike.
And for more Buzz now, this segment of Buzz brought to you by Viramax. World's number one sexual pleasure performance enhancer. Viramax number one because it really works.
Someone called for a doctor.
The doctor developed, clinically tested, patented Viramax. Get it at retailers nationwide. 1-888-Dial VMAX. 48 hours from now.
Saturday.
Yeah, it'll be Saturday in 48 hours.
All right, man, I love that song.
Hi, Buzz.
See you in the park. A private named Ryan is the latest casualty of the indecency witch hunt. At least 18 ABC TV stations say they will not air tonight's network showing of the Oscar-winning film Saving Private Ryan.
Wow.
Now, this is
we're just a nation of idiots.
Oh, this is a beautiful debate.
Wait till you hear.
Because, I know you're going to maybe have some of these facts.
Right.
2 years ago, ABC ran the same thing.
Twice they've shown it.
No problems.
Right.
And they run it on Veterans Day as a tribute. Mm-hmm. You know, Shaving Ryan's Privates, they run it on... Now, keep in mind, they still run commercials.
Mm-hmm.
They just don't cut out any of the dialogue or the scenes that might have been thought to be objectionable.
Mm-hmm.
But now, because of the Janet Jackson thing,
that's right,
you've got all these stations that are going to be running like the Kelly Ripa Show, a rerun of the Kelly Ripa Show.
What are these general managers at the stations that are making these calls?
These are entire chains of television stations. All of the stations owned by Cox Communications. All of the stations owned by the Hearst Corporation.
Hey, listen,
Tribune.
Wouldn't you think that if you really wanted to work on this, you'd change the name of the company?
Yeah, really, if you want to make a real big deal about
it. Cox with an X.
But you're right. It is all about the FCC. And here's why. And here's what drives us nuts about the FCC.
There's our FCC music.
The Federal Communications Commission is refusing to tell TV stations if airing the film uncut would be a violation. They say to rule on it before it airs would be censorship. But it's aired before.
All right, if you're listening to us at Live 105 in Baltimore, you won't see it on Channel 2.
Right.
Tonight, they're not going to run it. Also, in Tampa Bay, where we're heard, you won't see it in Tampa Bay. Also, God, listen to these markets.
Yeah.
Cincinnati, Cleveland, Detroit, Phoenix, Tampa Bay, Baltimore. Jesus.
Quoting a spokesman for the agency that was created to keep radio signals from bumping into each other, if we get a complaint, we'll act on it.
That's the FCC.
You know, God.
Hey, All Britain. Are you going to air it, All Britain?
So here's the thing. The FCC, because they've got this all-menacing, evil power thing happening,
right?
It's almost like a dare to America
to
say, because it's Veterans Day,
right,
and this is going to get all kinds of national publicity, we're going to see who's got the stones to run this. And then beyond that, who's got the incredible stones to write the FCC?
Won't happen with this movie because it's mostly people getting shot.
Mm-hmm. I disagree. It will happen.
It's not sex.
It will happen with this movie because it's not the people getting shot. It's the F-bombs.
Oh,
that's
right.
They're leaving it all, and there are a ton of F-bombs.
Yeah, blood, no problem.
I'm not a terribly F-bombs. Bright man, but doesn't it seem a little bit like the FCC is ruling with terror?
Yeah, it seems like it. Absolutely.
Yeah. And you know, this probably would not be an issue.
No, we can't rule on it before you run it. Even though it's been on before.
This wouldn't be an issue if these broadcasters wouldn't come into this with their tail between their legs to begin with. I mean, you say to the people at your company, if it's Sinclair or whatever, the broadcasting chain, you say, listen, we might get some hot water for this, but God damn it, it's Veterans Day.
I mean, really. It's an Academy Award-winning film.
I mean, really... if you hold them to that standard, you'll never see Schindler's List on regular TV.
No,
because that had naked people in it.
And that's a movie that has to be shown.
And again, the problem here is not the violence. You know, Buzz says it about the blood.
Right.
Same in Schindler's List.
Right.
You can run stuff on TV.
No problem.
And I was amazed when I was watching these morning shows, whatever we were talking about earlier that I saw a videotape of. I've seen the tape of the woman being kidnapped in Los Angeles on... two different stations, and I'll tell you how they each presented it.
Mm-hmm.
The local NBC station here in D.C., when this story came up, said, we have some videotape, and you're going to find it disturbing. We're going to warn you in advance. And it's a guy, maybe you've seen him, on the streets of Los Angeles.
Yeah, I saw him last night, but the sound was off, and I wasn't sure.
He's like some kind of political, wants media attention zealot. He's got, like, sandwich boards on him. He's got a woman.
Oh, this is the woman who, this is where the guy got shot.
Right, and he's holding her around the neck. Anyway, the sharpshooters come in, and boom, they get the guy in the head. It's not really that graphic, but they did a whole big disclaimer on Channel 4 here in D.C.
Mm-hmm.
This morning on the Today Show, they run it, and that's at 7:30 in the morning.
Right.
Like it's nothing, because they had the woman who had been kidnapped as their exclusive interview.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The double standard here is that blood and shooting is okay anytime. And Private Ryan would be okay anytime. You could get away with it on Veterans Day, but for God's sakes, don't put the F-bomb in there.
No, and don't show any nudity. No!
Well, the FCC, or NAMBLA for short, is saying go ahead and run the movie. CBS, meanwhile,
hold on.
I'm sorry, what?
I get jokes.
No,
but explain this one to me.
I stole that. I'm just being mean to the FCC because they're mean to the rest of us.
Okay.
CBS, meanwhile...
We don't know that anybody from the FCC is in NAMBLA.
Well, not for a fact. CBS is respectfully declining to pay its over $500,000 fine for the Janet Jackson incident. The network says the fine is based on the assumption it happened on purpose. In sports, NASCAR officials say they'll once again allow advertising for hard liquor on their race cars.
Hello!
NASCAR officials have banned the ads trying to shed their image as good old boys running moonshine, which is actually how the sport was born.
That's how it started.
They'd already allowed beer and even malt liquor ads for the hard stuff. Quoting NASCAR President Mike Helton, we felt the time was right. Mothers Against Drunk Driving does not think any time is right to make a connection between alcohol and fast, powerful, heavy cars. That's not being tight-assed.
Right, and having said that, have you noticed the thousands of Budweiser signs that you see?
Yeah.
And meanwhile, Dale Jr., his whole entire car is Budweiser.
Budweiser. They're not happy about that either. But that...
You got a tap in the trunk.
That's not being tight-assed. This is being tight-assed. In Georgia, two state troopers have been suspended without pay for giving a NASCAR driver, Bill Elliott, a ride in their helicopter. Officials say the troopers were supposed to be reporting back on marijuana fields they'd spotted. The troopers are also in trouble for letting Elliot fly the chopper, even though he is a licensed helicopter pilot.
God.
Finally, as the laws of nature go, the one known as the thinning of the herd is not a sure thing.
That's my favorite one, Buzz.
I know, but it doesn't always work, Don. In Gentry, Arkansas, a woman who'd been drinking stuck her hand in the tiger cage at the Wild Wilderness drive-through safari. She then turned to her boyfriend to tell him to be careful that the tiger had tried to bite her hand. And then she looked at her hand and realized the tiger had succeeded. A bony, bloody stump remained where her middle finger once lived. The owners of the safari are refusing to comment on the injury and refusing to provide safety tips for other people who may visit the park after drinking. Law of the Jungle. I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Thank you, Buzz.
That's happy.
No, buddy. We got to get out of here right now. Please stay tuned for Ron and Fez.
All right, I wonder how he's doing.
They're coming up next on JFK, also on Live 105 in the Buzz in Tampa Bay. We'll see you tomorrow. Our thanks to Joey Pants, Dave Modell. We'll see you tomorrow. Good day to you.
Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you.
Good day to you, sir.
Gary Carden and you.
Bye.
Oh, yeah, we got to run. We'll see you tomorrow.
Hello, Pillow. Till we meet again. This is Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.